Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. On today's Pardon My Take, week 6 of the NFL. We recap every game, fastest 2 minutes. Who's back of the week? Football guy of the week. The Chicago Sky won a WNBA championship. I'm sure we'll talk extensively about that. We got a lot of show.
Is Diana Taurasi bad for women's basketball?
She didn't. She avoided the post-game interviews.
That's disrespectful.
So, who did that? Who was the other?
Cam Newton.
Cam Newton did that.
Cam Newton,
yep.
Yeah.
So very disrespectful. But we got a lot of show. We're going to get into everything before we do that. Whether you're searching for a home to buy or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can find the home that's just right for you. You can favorite homes, share listings with others, and even schedule tours with a local Redfin agent all in the app. When you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. So download the Redfin app today to get started. Okay, let's go.
Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Part of My Take, presented by SimpliSafe. Go to simplisafe.com/PMT now to get up your home security system set up. Today is Monday, October 18th, week 6.
What? What? What?
We start in foggy London town, home of Tua Lipa and the Dolphins, who are levitating just above really fucking shitty. James Slob on My Robinson and Marvin Jones Jr. Soprano put their noses in the box and help the pussies come back in the game. Come on down to the win column, Urban Meyer. The price is Matthew Wright as the Jags get their first victory overseas. Jacksonville 23, Miami 20.
And back stateside in Detroit, where Dan Campbell's chunky chicken soup for the soul tried to fire up the Lions to a victory. Chase had a performance that was, in a word, remarkable, with 4 catches and 97 yards.
That's cash, boom.
Trey Christina Hendrickson ran around with his hair on fire, making Pete Dan Campbell a madman. Don't look now, but Joe Churro is looking like a snack again as the Cincinnati Bengals improve to 4-2. The Bengals 34, the Lions 11.
To the Meadowlands, where the Giants welcome back Tom Turn Your Head and Coughlin and Arch Manning's uncle. Kadarius Tony the Tiger was great for the first drive as the Giants continue to be the walking wounded. The Rams made a pit stop at Cracker Daryl Henderson and ate a Cooper Cup of chili as they blew out the Giants. Rams 38, the G-Men 11.
What? What? In Chicago, where Darnell Jackie Mooney scored a touchdown to prove he was more than a semi-pro, but the Packers once again were able to submit a bear in the ring. Khalil Fortune Herbert solved the puzzle that is the Packers defensive line, but aspiring game show host Aaron Rodgers disclosed his financial holdings, declaring ownership of the entire city of Chicago. The more things change, the more they stay the same. The Packers, 24. The Bears, 14.
Boomer, sounded like you had some cinnamon and Cincinnati in your throat.
The entire city of Cincinnati, cinnamon Chicago.
To Raljohn, Maryland, where Ricky Sealer, No Seal Jones opened up a case to show a touchdown. Welcome to Diami. Bienvenido a Diami had 3 catches, but it wasn't enough as Tyreek Capitol Hill and the Chiefs got right. Patrick Mahomes overcame 2 interceptions to get his team a much-needed win, and we have Patrick on the sidelines to tell us about the game. Patrick.
Yeah, you know, I was real tickled pink with how we played in the second half. I made a couple doy-doy plays in the first half out there. Well, I'm very proud of my brother, Jackson. He did a great dance before the game. Always good to see boys get out there and have a little fun doing some shindig before a game starts. Right now, I'm just looking ahead and scared, taking one game at a time. And January 2nd, we'll be going to Cincinnati. And that's certainly one that we've had scheduled and circled on our calendars.
Chiefs 31, Washington football team 13. Thank you, Patrick.
Down south to Charlotte, where Chuba Hubba Bubba Hubbard chewed on some gum in the end zone. But it was Kirk Cousins who had a bazooka of a day with 3 touchdowns. Fantasy owner said, I got a peaceful, easy feeling. And I know a player who will let me down. It's Christian McCaffrey, and he's wearing a hospital gown. Every Vikings game is a trip on the crazy train as KJ Ozzy Osbourne scores a touchdown in OT to seal the victory. The Vikings 34, the Panthers 20.
In Mile High, where rich homie Quan Basikia flexed in his first game as a head coach, telling his team, living like a volcano, Josh Jacobs, Derek Hall, and it's only beginning, it's a lifestyle. Henry just says no to rugs, got a mile high and smoked the Broncos secondary. Kenyon Drake's the type of dude who will put up numbies when he's on your bench in fantasy, but he's still hard in the DMs. Meg Brian Edwards and the Raiders said, you've got mail, as the Raiders win a big one. 34-24.
In New England, where Kendrick Bourne in the USA is a true patriot, scoring a late touchdown to put his team ahead. But Ezekiel Elliott and the Cowboys were born to run. It was an axe-throwing competition as Mac and Dak traded scores. In overtime, the Cowboys said, CD's nuts, and wham, bam, thank you, Lamb, scored to win the game, and Bill Belichick couldn't do anything but stand and watch while his lips bled everywhere. The Cowboys, 35. The Patriots, 29.
We finish in Cleveland, where welcome to the Odell, California. Such a lovely case, such a lovely case. As Keenum came in relief of Baker, Ray J. Green put out some good film as Kareem Kardashian Hunt got his back blown out.
It's actually his calf, boom. Thoughts and prayers.
Mercury Morris is in retrograde as the 72 Dolphins can't pop that bubbly just yet as the Cardinals.
The Cardinals? Huh?
Huh? Huh? The Arizona Cardinals?
The Arizona Cardinals?
Huh? Improved to 6-0. Cardinals 37, Browns 14.
With golf season in full swing, Chevy wants to help you make the most of every drive, and the all-electric Blazer EV's bold design and dynamic performance make it the perfect electric vehicle to get you to the course in style and comfort. Chevrolet, together let's drive.
All right, week 6 in the books. We are currently watching Steelers-Seahawks with 5 minutes to play. We will update that after that game goes final. So we'll talk about that as soon as the game goes final. This, welcome to the show. This is officially Loserville.
Yeah,
we are losers.
We all just have made a series of poor decisions in our life that have brought us to this week of football, and it's not good, buddy.
Here. Okay, so we're going to get into all the games. We're going to recap all the games. But this happens, and everyone needs to just remember this happens. So if you are similar to us right now, living in Loserville, your team stinks, your picks stink, the games weren't that good this week, and that's okay. There's always an off week in the NFL. Like, we got to the witching hour, and there was pretty much nothing going on besides the Vikings and Panthers game. And then in the night games, obviously the Cowboys and Patriots was a great game, but the other twos were kind of stinkers. It was just a down week, and that's okay. It happens. We need to have perspective.
We got to learn from it. We got to watch film. We got to circle the wagons. And we got to just we got to count on football. Football owes us after today. This was, you know what this was? This was just, you know, going into some good debt for football. We're showing that we will still be here when it sucks. They need to pay us back, the football gods.
If you don't love football, football won't love you back.
Exactly.
What are you going to say, Hank?
And we have an extra week this year. So it's like we were due for one of these no matter what.
Yeah,
these
always happen. This was bonus football.
Yeah,
this was the extra week.
These always happen, though. There's like 2 or 3 weekends of the football season that you can point to every single year where it feels like everything goes against you. Now, it happened that everything went against everyone in this room all at the same time. Mm-hmm. So it's extra special Loserville edition of Pardon My Take, but everyone knows this feeling because it happens. You'll have that one or two Sundays a year where you're like, do I really want to do this? Do I want like this? This hurts. This is not fun on a personal, financial, whatever level. It's not fun.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to just bounce back. Got to get off the mat, and you got to figure out a way to put one foot in front of the other. And you know, I don't know. Just figure it out. Do you hear what I'm saying right now? It's false confidence.
No,
I'm trying to pump myself
up. You know what
I'm like the cowardly lion.
You know what I think is going to happen? I think we're going to have a great Monday Night Football game.
There we go.
That's what's going to happen. Josh Allen.
Josh Allen
is he has to save football.
Josh Allen saves football.
Actually, you know what? One of our teams didn't lose this weekend. The Jets.
Oh yeah, the Jets.
Congrats, Billy.
The bye week one.
Mr. INT, bye week was heavily favored.
Guess who threw no interceptions this week?
That's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
Zach Wilson. As we're saying this, too, there's a Seahawks player that is very, very injured, which makes me even sadder because football just doesn't love anything right now. But let's get into the games. Let's recap. We'll put on a brave face. We'll go through everything.
Can I just say right off the top, I need you guys to carry me on this one.
Yeah.
I'm hurting.
Well, I need you to carry me.
I'm physically – okay.
I'm spiritually hurting.
He's not heavy. He's my brother.
Yeah.
That's what they say, right?
You're physically, I'm spiritually broken.
I need one footprint in the sand right now. I need that sort of moment.
I need to find God.
Okay.
Because, unfortunately,
he plays for the Green Bay Packers
twice a year.
That he is God.
It's borderline criminal.
He's God.
All right, let's start there? No, we're not starting there. Let's ease our way into it.
We got to start in London.
Let's start in London.
Like it might be good for you to just get it all out.
I'm going to ease my way into it. Let's start in London. Jaguars, Dolphins. Did you know? I didn't know this until today, which is incredible. That the Jaguars got all the way to week 6 without making a field goal in a game.
No, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Did they even have a kicker?
They did. I think their initial kicker, Lambeau, got hurt, and then they brought in Matthew Wright, who ended up. So this is how weird the Jaguars season is. They're 0-5 going into this game. They have Urban Meyer putting his finger up every chick's butt.
Mm-hmm.
They can't do anything like well on the field. Even when it looks like they might win a game, they don't, mm-hmm. and no one's on the same page. They go to London. They're 0-4 in field goal attempts this year, and then they have Matthew Wright be the first player kicker in NFL history to make multiple 50-yarders in the last 4 minutes of a fourth quarter.
It's incredible.
It's fucking crazy.
Great job by Urban Meyer. We need to congratulate him when he does things correctly.
He got a win.
It's been, what, 2 weeks since he's fingered a young woman's butthole?
Yep.
So he's on a hot streak.
It was more the gooch.
Well, so you have to look at it. It's like put in perspective with the Ravens streak that they had where it was, you know, what, 44 games in a row with a 100-yard rusher?
Yep.
Urban Meyer's knuckles have been clean for about a fortnight.
That's true.
At this part.
So he's a reformed
we'll
man.
We'll give him respect on that one. But, yeah, the kicks were actually kind of crazy because they had little Mason crossbar movement on them. Did you see that?
Yeah.
So they bent inside. They bent in the right direction. We've seen some funny things with the kicker balls this year.
Yep.
This guy, Matthew Wright, might just be the guy that's mastered the new kicking ball. You know, like how in the World Cup, like once every two or three World Cups, FIFA just introduces a ball that's impossible to save.
Yep.
But there's always like one person who can command it that understands how to kick it correctly. That's what's going on. He knows how to kick these new balls.
It's also very like the game was crazy because there was a moment in the game where the Jaguars were up 17-13 in field goal range, went for it on fourth down, not to make it a 7-point game. The Dolphins then scored a touchdown, so Jaguars needed a field goal to tie it, a field goal to win it. It's just insane that happened, that they were 0-4, then they get Matthew Wright, makes two bomb kicks. Urban Meyer gets in the win column. The Jaguars get rid of that tweet that's just been out there from last year when they won their first game of the season and they said not satisfied with 1-0 and then lost 20 straight games.
Yep.
That's gone. Trevor Lawrence looked good. Trevor Lawrence, he's going to be good. I'm pretty confident now that Trevor Lawrence, especially, we should actually – like my column, Trevor Lawrence is actually the greatest rookie quarterback of all time, given the circumstances.
Oh, I like
given
that.
The fact that his
what he's
coach
had to
is,
overcome
his
so
coach
far.
Is the horniest guy in the world.
Yeah,
the team stinks.
Well, he also
they're
considering
the Jaguars.
He hadn't won before.
Yep,
and you could say he's doing a great job at losing.
Yeah,
like he's you know what he's doing. He's providing a steady hand, and he's guiding this franchise during a tumultuous time when they don't have a leader. And he came from a college where He didn't lose, and also had probably the least horny coach.
Yes.
I would say Dabo Swinney doesn't fuck.
No.
I'm very confident in
definitely
that.
Definitely not. Definitely not. Maybe once a year after the college football committee puts Clemson into the Final Four.
No, he's like, he looks down, he's like, my penis is a distraction.
Yes. I need to get out there and start recruiting again. But it was, it wasn't a memorable game. I think the most memorable part of this game was the fan that ran on the field. Yeah look, now there's a card out. Like, this, it's just bad vibes. Bad mm-hmm. vibes on a Sunday night. But I hope this player's okay. So there was a fan that ran on the field to start the game.
He dapped up the entire squad. It was great.
It was great. Our good friend Uncle Chaps wants us to stop saying that the Jaguars should move to London. So here's me saying I will never say that again.
Okay.
But I would like to say as one last thing, the Jaguars being London's team is very, very funny because of the fans dressing up.
Mm-hmm.
That picture of the guy in the dolphin, like the full, he was just, I don't want to say guy because he might have just been a dolphin.
Mm-hmm.
They might have just had a dolphin sitting in the stands next to a fully face-painted Jaguars fan. There's something about that matchup. I hope they play it every year in London because the fans dress up and they look ridiculous.
The only thing I wish that they would add to it is bring back the gradient helmets that they used to have. They're like multicolored for that game for the Jaguars. Let them do that. Maybe give them a color rush game as a treat. Have them do the electric mustard ones. I actually like the Dolphins wearing candy-ass uniforms when they're overseas.
Yes.
Because, okay, you're in a soccer country.
Right.
You get to wear the candy-ass stuff right now.
Right.
I noticed Urban during the last couple of minutes of the game, when they were attempting the kicks, that were going to take him into overtime and then the game winner, he doesn't even look when his team is kicking a potential game-winning field
goal.
Give
him a migraine.
I don't think he enjoys any part of football.
No.
I think he just likes being out of the house.
He did say he was going to remember this one for the rest of his life.
Yeah, it's going on the
his
coffee table.
His first win, yep. His first win in the NFL in London.
Add this to the coffee table. It's I saw him after the game, and he was giving his post-game speech. The sound was off, but I could see him gesturing with his fingers, and I'm pretty sure he was doing the exact same. No.
Not that way?
No, not that way. Okay. I'm pretty sure he was doing the exact same speech that they gave in Major League when they're like, that's one game. Now we try to win two games in a row.
Right.
Then if we can win three, they call that a winning streak.
Yeah.
I think that's actually what he was like trying to joke with his team. They're checked out though.
Yeah. It was, it's more indictment on the Dolphins and where they currently are at. The Tua thing is a problem. I will say that I don't really understand what the Dolphins were doing with Tua. He had a weird rib protector. He's coming back from injury. They threw the ball. He threw the ball 47 times, which was one of the most that he's ever had to do in the NFL. I just don't like. I know we've gone through this last year, went back and forth with Dolphins fans. I think most Dolphins fans are now starting to see it that maybe he's not the guy. And the Deshaun Watson, like, watch officially, I feel like, is on right now because I think the trade deadline is, what, week 8? So it's kind of a now or never situation, and it feels like they will probably take a run at him because I don't think Tua's the guy. And I don't. He's a nice
People
guy.
People disagree on my Dolphins Twitter timeline.
What, they think Tua's still the guy?
They think it's on the coaching. They
but
think
last
it's on,
year
every,
was on the coaching.
Everyone else. I thought he had a good game besides that one pick.
It just feels like every time he has even a little bit of pressure, it like all falls apart.
I mean, not staying 100% healthy definitely plays a factor.
Yeah.
When you have a guy that is a wait-and-see guy, those are the worst guys. Those are the guys that like 10 years from now, 15 years from now, you look back and you're like, well, we really wasted three
That's
years.
Pretty much what happened with them waiting. With Tannehill.
Yeah, right.
He was very average with them.
I was going to say Tannehill is the one example of the wait-and-see guy. Where it was actually like, okay, I guess he's good. I guess we wait and saw.
Right.
And he's good.
And he's good. He finally took the step forward. You're right. Tua's first drive was really, really good. And then he had another really good drive somewhere in the middle of the game. But his first scripted drive was very good. Obviously Dolphins fans will be like, well, dude, you backed Mitch for 4 years. Well, the difference I would say is that the Bears were actually like a good team for a while there. You know what I mean? Not because of Mitch, mm-hmm. but it's a little different when you have a competitive team and you kind of see things a little differently when you win games. When you lose games, it definitely clouds it. Maybe Tua will get better. I don't know. I just think that, and it's only his second year.
Seeing Herbert
and Burrow, going through what I went through with Mahomes and Watson, where it's like, fuck, this sucks. Because you're watching
the
two guys that got taken around him and being like, well, that looks nice. I just don't know. I think I guess where I landed is the fact that the Dolphins are even like considering Deshaun Watson tells you that they might not think Tua's a guy.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. No, things have to get pretty bad.
Right.
To be like, yeah. Right. Well, how many dozens of women have accused him?
Yeah.
Only two? Okay. Yeah. Only two dozen. Yeah, we can work with that.
I'm fine with waiting and seeing because it honestly doesn't affect me whatsoever.
Right. With Tua, I'm okay right. with the two. But like,
we can wait and see.
You know the wait and see guys. Like, they will ruin your franchise because you're like, I think this guy can be good. If we get stability around him, have the same like offensive coordinator for 2 years in a row. Jason Campbell was the ultimate wait and see guy. This guy will eventually be good.
By the way, just a quick update from the game. Like a very significant injury. So we hope this player's okay. And it's
who is it?
It looks bad. I don't know, but it looks really, really bad. So I hope everything's okay.
They've had like two commercials, people are crying.
Yeah, it doesn't look good. But back to Tua. The only other thing I'd say is that, and this is gonna sound offensive, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I probably have a whole community come after me. I do think when your wait and see guy and your guy that might not be very good is also a lefty. I don't know. I really do think lefties. I think we've heard players say that it's weird. It's different catching a ball from a lefty.
Right. So there's Belichick been good with the left-footed punters.
Yeah. There's
right?
been good lefty quarterbacks, but I do think that like maybe that is very old school of me to reduce it to be like lefty. I don't want them, but I. Kind of lefty, I don't want him.
Well, lefties look sweet when they're in college.
Yes.
When they're throwing the ball that has the stripes on it.
Right.
And then in the NFL, lefties just look weird.
Lefties look awesome when they're dribbling behind their back in basketball.
I don't trust lefties. I think back in the day, like, if you were a lefty, you were a witch, right?
Yes, that's
that
actually a fact.
What it meant?
Although I think my son might be a lefty.
Well, I was going to say, you should actually, but you should
as
lean into that.
You are lefty?
Yeah.
You are?
Mm-hmm. As a righty, so I just want to righty coming in peace.
You are?
That's weird, Jake.
You write with your left?
I throw and shoot with my left.
But you don't write with your left.
If I was
left.
A quarterback, I'd be a left-handed quarterback.
And you would stink.
Yeah, I will say, though, basketball completely different, but much better looking shot. But left-handed quarterbacks
lefty
never
basketball.
Look good. Like the LSU, I was saying this at the LSU game because they have a left-handed quarterback, and I was just like, you have no confidence with a left-handed quarterback. It's just not the same.
You just can't have it be your wait-and-see guy.
It must be harder to teach that guy, too, right? Because you have to get a left-handed quarterback teacher.
And you have to do...
Otherwise, they just show you everything backwards.
All right, so I just Googled best left-handed quarterbacks. Tim Tebow is the first hit.
Okay, not a great start.
Scott Mitchell, Mark
Steve
Brunel,
Young.
Michael Vick, Steve Young, Boomer Esiason, Ken Stabler. I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Jake. If you ever thought you were going to be a lefty quarterback.
Being a quarterback.
I've just always thought lefties
Matt Leinart.
Are weird.
What about the hefty lefty?
Yep.
The hefty
Jared
lefty,
Lorenzen.
RIP, hell of a guy. But yeah, listen, I'm sorry.
Tim Tebow obviously wrote that list, right?
Yeah, Tim Tebow wrote
He's
that
blogging
list. Steve
now.
Young, very good quarterback. But it still looked weird. Mm-hmm. It just does. I don't know what it is.
It is weird. And yeah, I think if the wait and see guy is a lefty, that's just like one other data point that you have to be like, there's something weird about him.
Right.
My data.
I'm rooting for Tua, but yeah, that's where I landed.
We should also give credit to the new punter on the Jaguars. Or maybe he might not be the new punter. I think he's been their punter, but he just had a baby.
Oh, yeah.
2 days before the game.
Yes, we got updated.
New baby alert. So I think he was probably the holder for those kicks, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why there was a little extra magic on the ball.
Yeah, that's why those kicks went through. So Jaguars get their first win. Dolphins in a complete spiral.
Did Shad Khan take the yacht over there? Because that used to always be a story whenever the Jaguars would go over to London. It would be like Shad Khan is going to leave a month early and just sail across the Atlantic Ocean and park his yacht in
Magellan,
London.
Magellan, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know if he's there. Maybe he'll take Urban Meyer back. That'd be funny if he just like pushed him into the Atlantic Ocean on the way back. I was like, I don't know. I just woke up in the morning. He wasn't here anymore.
He's not here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't prove that.
All right. Next up. Again, we're easing our way into it. So one more, and then we'll ease our way into it. But Bengals-Lions. Dan Campbell's broken. He's a broken man. Unfortunately, I want to say Dan Campbell's a broken man. He cried last week. I thought they would have a bounce back from the cry. They did not have a bounce back from the cry. The Bengals whooped him. And not only did they whoop him, but Dan Campbell, the guy, I never thought Dan Campbell would be a sad field goal guy. Dan Campbell's a sad field goal guy. They kicked a field goal down 27-0 with 8 minutes left.
Okay.
That's a sad field goal guy.
I'm okay with kicking the field goal to get some points so that you don't get shut out. because you can build on that. It's tough.
But it's sad.
It's a sad thing to send
your special teams out when you're down 27-0 in the fourth quarter and be like, go on out there, guys. Kick that field goal.
Maybe he knew people that took the over. And he was trying to do them a favor.
And then the best is, I think that Dan Campbell, in his like football guy-ish life, realized that the sad field goal was spitting in the face of the football gods, because he then, down 38-11 with a little more than 2 minutes left, burned all his timeouts to try to get the ball back.
Okay.
And 34-11.
Right, 34-11. He wanted to play more football. That's
it. He wanted to kick more sad field goals.
And also, you could just be like, you know what? Anthony Lynn called that play. That does remind me of an old Anthony Lynn, like, bird brain play.
Yeah.
To kick that.
But it's just the sad field goal. It makes everyone feel sad. Even the Lions fans were in the background of the field goal. All of them were just flipping off the camera, like, this is sad. What are we doing here? It just bums you out when a team does that.
The sad field goal isn't as bad as a sad punt, though. Like, if you're...
Yeah,
if
you're right. You're right.
If you're getting your ass kicked and it's halfway through the fourth quarter, let's say you're on your own 20-yard line and it's fourth and, 17. Yeah, you're going to punt. You don't want... It's not going to help anything to punt, but maybe it'll take them a couple more plays to get back into your end zone afterwards.
Yep.
So you're just trying to, like, make it so they don't score immediately when they get the ball back. But everybody involved knows that it's not going to be good.
Yeah, the sad punt, I would agree. But the sad field goal, I just didn't think Dan Campbell would be that guy. Because, the Lions have been bad, but they've fought. That was such a white flag, like, what are we doing here?
I think it's just one of those pride things. Not having a shutout means a lot to a guy like Dan Campbell. If you tell Dan Campbell you're going to go to the stadium and not score any points at all, like Dan, that would make him cry. That would make him spontaneously combust. No one wants to go to work environment like that. So I think he was just looking out for the guys, being like, hey, you fought till the end. That's what he was going to say.
Yeah.
If you look at our graph on when our points were scored, we actually improved as the game went on.
So my question is, and we'll get to the Bengals in a second. Oh, when are we officially on 0-17 watch with the Lions? I don't think we're there yet. I don't, but that was a really bad game today. And they have, I'm looking at their schedule right now, there aren't a ton of winnable games left.
You have a double revenge game next week.
Against the Rams.
Stafford versus
Goff. Yes, that's right. But there aren't a ton of winnable games left on the schedule for them.
They have the Eagles at home.
Yeah, that one maybe. At the Steelers, at the Browns, they play the Bears Thanksgiving Day. Who knows? But they're not playing the Jets. They're not playing the Jaguars. They're not playing the Texans. So I'm getting a little nervous. And I love Dan Campbell. I want Dan Campbell to succeed. If Dan Campbell goes 0-17 as a coach after going 0-16 as a player,
he'd be the first coach to ever lose 17 games.
That would but he did it as a player too with the Lions. That would make me incredibly sad.
That would
make me sadder than a sad field goal.
God gives his hardest struggles to his toughest soldiers, right?
Yeah, and he was very angry in the post game, which he's got the fight. He wants to keep fighting. It's just sad. But all right, so let's talk about the Bengals, because the Bengals, we were having the debate during the game. I think the Bengals have graduated from not bad, and they're inching very close to good.
The Bengals right now, if you're grading them on a curve scale of the Bengals' expectations, this is the best Bengals team of all time.
Right.
Like, the Bengals are absolutely dominating everyone's perception of what they think that the Bengals are. So on that curve, they're a very good team. When you compare them to other football teams...
Yeah, that's what I was doing. I was saying, so they just... They maybe last week or the week before officially got their cap and gown and walked through graduation of the not bad teams, and now they're in school, they're getting their master's in maybe a good team.
Okay,
and who knows, they could maybe become a good team.
And
because their defense plays like their defense and the Lions' offense has problems, but they were lights out in the first half. I think the Lions had like 60 yards total of offense in the first half. Joe Burrow, we love him. They can do a lot of, like, they have good running game, good receivers. So I think they might get close to being good.
I'm officially ready to declare today at 4-2, they're second in the AFC North as we stand right now. The Cincinnati Bengals are Goodish.
Goodish. Okay,
they're,
yeah.
They're a goodish football
that
team.
That means they just finished year one of law school.
Yeah.
Of good.
Yeah, so they're, yeah.
Which is the hardest year.
No, they're working. They're, you right. know, putting in some part-time, getting paid, like, you know, paralegal dues right now.
They're working 80 hours a week and getting paid nothing, and they're like, I love this. This is a great decision. I'm so happy I decided to be a lawyer.
Yeah,
shout out the lawyers who are listening to this right now because they know that pain and they're
hourly
like deep
charge.
Down. They're like, this sucks.
Yeah, so I'm looking at the Bengals' schedule moving forward. They, I'm ready to say it. I think the Bengals are going to be a 500 ball club.
Ooh. So next week is going to be the big test. So next week is going to be, well,
tie?
They're going to get a tie. 8-8-1.
Yep, 8-8-1. Yep.
I mean, they
be
do
a
have the tie
club.
Energy, always.
Yeah, they can tie anybody. Actually, like, the Patriots and the Bengals are kind of existing on similar planes right now, where the Bengals can tie anyone. The Patriots should have beat any team in this league.
Yes, or should have lost to any team.
Or should have lost.
Yeah, should have lost. But the Bengals have it set up perfectly where they get a huge, huge test next week at the Ravens. If they beat the Ravens, they're officially graduated to good.
That's going
to
be a tie. I think they're going to tie the Ravens.
But the nice thing about their schedule is they play the Ravens next week, which is going to be an enormous test, and then they play the Jets the week after, which will be a nice bounce back no matter what. Like, if you suck against the Ravens, you have the Jets as kind of like, there's always money in the banana stand.
It's a little Bloody Mary game.
Right.
It's like, okay.
You fix it up.
You win out hard, and then this is just going to ease you back into playing football.
Right. So, yeah, the Bengals, credit to the Bengals. Because, listen, beating bad teams, you still get credit for beating bad teams.
Yep.
You do. All right. One more before we get to the other stuff. Colts Texans. Mm-hmm. So here's the
this
other thing we found
happened.
Out about today. The Texans are truly terrible. So they did a little rope-a-dope on us this year because they won week one against the Jaguars. And any team that wins week one, you're like, ooh, this could be something. And then they lost. They played tough against the Browns, and they played tough against the Patriots. So they did just enough, like, mirage, where you're like, hey, man, the Texans are kind of frisky. They won't roll over. No. They stink. They're a really bad team.
This is a big rollover game. We had a little flash of Davis Mills last week in that first half. Then he turned back into Davis Mills. So
yes.
I think we have a pretty good feeling of what Davis Mills is right now. And that's a guy that loses 3-31 to the Indianapolis Colts.
Yes, that actually makes it even more painful.
Yeah.
That was like almost a British thing, 3-31.
Yeah.
The craziest stat about this game is the Texans actually had 9 more minutes of offense than the Colts, and they scored 3 points.
Cully uses every part of the play clock. He like really
yeah.
likes to take it. I think that's all that means is they had more time in possession because it takes them longer to actually get the plays called in and
yes.
have them set up. Not because they were like dominating in the running game. Although they had 124 yards rushing.
Yeah, no, they do a couple things every now and then in a few games where you're like, hey, the Texans, they're pros, like Pete Prisco said. But no, they are officially in the running for worst teams in the NFL.
Well, this game was over before it started because the roof was open in Indy for the first time all year. And the shadows, if you think the shadows during the Dallas Cowboys afternoon games are bad,
yep.
when they have the roof open in Indy, it looks like, you know, when you see an old broadcast of like a game from the 1960s or something, and it's before anything was really engineered to be optimized for television. When they didn't think anybody would even be watching. That's what the Indy field looks like when the roof's open. So that's a hostile environment to go into and have to play if you're Davis Mills. And then, honestly, I forgot that T.Y. Hilton wasn't playing until he was back today.
It was a big deal.
It's a huge deal. So
activated.
He had neck surgery, and now he's back playing again, and he's dominating again. I love T.Y. Hilton.
I do, too.
Underappreciated player.
For his post-game press conference after his baby was born. Still one of my favorites.
Yep. I think the Texans should consider letting a fan play quarterback.
That would be cool.
I think that would be
or
more
fan
entertaining.
Coach.
Yeah.
Yeah, anything other than what's going on right now. Jonathan Taylor's awesome, which is always great to see because I need Wisconsin players to be good in the pros so that we can get recruits because we just barely beat Army, which was actually, by the side note, was one of the funniest games of the weekend because it took like two and a half hours to play.
Yep.
And the Wisconsin Army game finished before Tennessee Ole Miss got into the fourth quarter, and Tennessee Ole Miss started a half hour before Wisconsin Army.
See, I always respect that. If you're going to make me watch like painful version of football, which, yeah. I mean, Army football can be fun to watch sometimes when they just like dominate people and, and run them over.
When the triple option works, it's a thing of beauty.
It's amazing. It's poetry. But yeah, at least make it fast. At least have the games end. I think that the football team played like by far the fastest games last year when they were just really, really bad. And it's always nice to be able to like end a little bit early and then get to watch what actual football looks like in that same time slot.
Yeah, get that time slot. The Colts, just a quick word on the Colts. So even though the Colts are, what are they, 2-4 now? I think they're 2-4.
They are.
I think we talked about this last week, but they are very much in the AFC South. Like they are probably going to end up, I was looking at their schedule, they're probably going to be a 500 team like in late November going into the home stretch. Like they're, so it, even though it feels like the Colts aren't anything special right now, I guarantee you that they will be like part of the playoff picture come December.
So I think I'm ready to maybe start getting tempted by Carson Wentz
no,
again.
No, don't. If
you look at the last two games, I know. The elbows are bad. Elbows. The long elbow sleeve that he has. The really high white socks. I get all of it. The thing where he runs around, he gets scared in the backfield. Like he has like a sensitivity to loud noises and he panics. There's a lot to not like about Carson Wentz, but I'm still finding myself being like, maybe they fixed him. Maybe Carson Wentz got fixed. I don't know. Like that's the whole thing. Is like maybe going out to Indianapolis, maybe that will fix him. Reuniting him with Frank Reich. And I mean, he played good against the Ravens last week.
Don't do this to yourself.
He played pretty good.
I have just finally gotten over thinking this.
And I was done even. I think I talked you out of believing that like 2 weeks ago.
Refreshing. No, I stopped around last year, but I truly don't think he's good anymore. And it was a very freeing thing, both like in betting and just life, to just not have to think all the time about how Carson Wentz, oh, this might be the game that he recaptures that year where he almost won MVP.
You know what's really puzzling about Carson Wentz is his rib protector that he wears.
Yes.
The rib protector, it's ridiculous.
Yes.
It's egregious. It's like he basically has just a giant cylinder of plastic around his torso at all times. And I've never seen a quarterback that has, look at this. Look how big that thing is.
It's enormous.
Yeah.
I should probably wear one of those. He wears
a girdle.
That's why I look like that.
Yeah. He wears a girdle.
Yeah, I do wear one of those. All right, so this game's about to end. Oh, is the time over?
Spiked it. Now the dilemma is there 1 second or zero?
Oh, okay. Interesting. Well, should we do another game real quick before we finish recap this one?
Let's do another one.
All right, let's just go. Let's just keep. Let's.
DK
we don't need to do.
Absolutely choked the game. For the
Seahawks. What did he do? He just fumbled.
He caught it. He could have just ran out of bounds and he fumbled it.
Well, he couldn't turn.
He was trying to. Well, he was trying to make a play and basically run through everyone.
Yeah,
they got the spike off.
Listen, it's DK. He'll go towards the end zone, but if you need him to get out of bounds, he's the last player that you want with the ball in your hands.
Yes. All right. We'll
that's a Ted Ginn specialist.
We'll delay the Bears-Packers for another couple minutes here. Well, let's just do a couple more games before we get to that. I'm going to start crying. That was a stupid, stupid play by DK Metcalf. That was awareness zero.
Hi, DK Metcalf.
Yeah. Rams-Giants, another one of these games. Like, there were so many games today that just weren't interesting because they were just blowouts. The only interesting part of this game was Eli and Tom Coughlin were back.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think the Giants, given their current state, should bring Eli back for every home game. Like, just make every home game an Eli, like, ceremony of some sorts. Because I don't know how else you're going to get fans to cheer, especially when Daniel Jones at home is not... I mean, we've talked about it, but Daniel Jones at home is just not good.
Mm-hmm.
And he was bad today. And obviously, a receiver slipped in one play, but I think the first play of the game, he fumbled. They recovered it, but that was like, oh, it's going to be one of those Daniel Jones days.
This was one of the games where if this one was going to be competitive, it would have given us a way better feeling going into the rest of the slate on Sunday. But you knew that when this game was a blowout, you're like, all these games are going to suck. It was a good bellwether for how the Sunday was going to go.
And it was competitive for the first quarter.
And then Tony gets hurt.
Yeah, Kadarius Tony gets hurt, which the Giants, I know that every team thinks that they have the worst injury luck. I do actually think the Giants might have the worst injury luck, at least this year, because it feels like every time they have a guy step forward, he gets injured.
I think they're down to like their fourth and fifth string wide receivers that are starting right now. Yeah. Obviously, Saquon's out for, I don't know, probably forever with a softball-sized ankle.
Yep.
Yeah,
but that sucked because Kadarius Toney's fun to watch.
They need to bring Madison Hedgecock back to the games. That'll get people back out to... Was it MetLife?
Yes.
Yeah, MetLife will be packed with
we'll be buzzing.
Farmers Only Day.
So the Giants stink. I think we're officially on Joe Judge watch.
Yeah, because you can't be Joe Judge
Correct.
And coach the way that Joe Judge does and lose.
Correct.
If you win, then everything's great, and it's like, oh, this guy's figured out how to coach in the NFL. He's a genius,
right?
Because he makes his players run laps. But, yeah, the hard-ass coaches, when they don't win, that's when things go sour.
Correct.
That's when your Shianos happen,
right?
Things of that nature.
Things fall apart very quickly for Joe Judge types. And speaking of their injuries, Joe Judge, in a blowout, was playing all the starters at the end of the game,
mm-hmm.
which is another one like, hey, maybe you're not the guy.
Maybe pack it in, yeah.
Yeah, maybe pack it in. Maybe protect your players. You're already, like, walking wounded team. I just think Joe Judge, he feels like the first to go.
Do you think that, gun to your head, if you're a Giants fan, do you miss, like, do you allow yourself in secret moments to admit that maybe you miss McAdoo just a little bit?
Oh.
I miss him.
I mean, those big suits.
I miss him. Yeah,
and the slick Giants back hair.
Suits, the hair, the mustache. The tiny door that he had to his office.
At least he was funny.
We never actually confirmed whether or not that was true, but it's my favorite rumor that McAdoo had like a door that went into his office that was 60% the size of a normal door. Every other door in the building. I choose to believe it's true because it's funny. Cam, would you take McAdoo back?
No. No, he said no.
No?
Cam says no. No, absolutely not. I would take him back just because he is a funny in the slick back hair and the oversized suit.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Joe Judge, it feels like Joe Judge is about to, a couple more weeks and he could be the first coach fired.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
Because almost every other coach running through the list, they are either in a situation they knew they were going to be shitty going into this year. It's rare to have a combination of like a relatively new coach that has expectations that's being judged against
right.
him. Joe Judge, unfortunately for him, has expectations.
Right, exactly. In terms of the Rams, another one of those ones that you just chalk up to good teams just blow out bad teams.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Stafford had an incredible no-look pass. Did you see that?
I did. Well, no, Big Cat, because his name isn't Patrick Mahomes,
that's
so
true.
The media didn't
that's
talk about it.
That's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was an incredible no-look pass. Cooper Kupp is now, through 6 weeks, halfway to a career year, his career year, which he had a couple years ago where he had like 10 touchdowns, 1,100 yards. I think he's at 5 touchdowns, 600 yards right now. So he is on fire. And yeah, the Rams, like credit to the Rams for kicking the shit. That second quarter where they scored 28 points and that was just it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't know what else to say besides the Rams are a lot better than the Giants right now.
So, yeah, Jake brought it up earlier, but the double revenge game coming next week, that'll be some good storylines.
Let's play Guess Whose Line Is It Anyway.
Guess Whose
Where's
Line
the
Is
game?
It? It's in
we
Detroit,
get it for us?
Right?
All right, Guess Whose Line Is It Anyway?
It's in LA. Okay.
I'm going to say Rams minus...
I'm going to go 11 and a half.
I'm going to go 13 and a half.
Okay.
13 and a half. Rams minus 13 and a half.
14 and a half.
Whoa.
I think I got to take Dan Campbell.
Damn. No, don't. Don't do this to yourself.
Well, I know it could kick a field goal at the end of the game.
Yeah, I just.
Can I bet on the Lions not to get shut out? That's
yeah,
what I want to do.
We should put that
okay,
up there.
I'll put that
Will
bet
Dan
in there.
Campbell attempt a sad field goal?
Yes.
Although, what?
Absolute hardo move to trot Russell Wilson out there when he's not even playing.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
That is.
I bet you he's not even
that's
captain
ridiculous.
Right now. He's just taking mental reps.
What is Russell Wilson doing out there? That was cool. We should just talk about this game real quick. I can't believe that Russell Wilson got caught practicing his 2-minute drive by himself on the field beforehand. That
mm-hmm.
was crazy. I think he wanted to just do that in peace
mm-hmm.
and not have anyone see it. But unfortunately, yeah. the NBC cameras, because it is a nationally televised game, did catch him going through that, and it ended up going around Twitter and social media and being like, look at Russell Wilson. He cares so much. He's not even playing tonight, but he's still practicing before the
it's
game.
It's reminiscent of Hard Knocks when JJ didn't know that HBO was filming
yeah,
at the time,
right.
and he was rapping to Fort Minor.
Right.
It's sad because like these are private moments that these athletes are trying to have, trying to improve their craft, get better. I mean, the dedication that he has to, you know, just happen to need to do this exercise right before their game that was going to be on national television. Like, it shows you this guy works hard, okay?
Yes.
And he doesn't do it for the accolades.
Nope. He does it because he loves the game. He misses the game.
Mm-hmm.
He's only been out of the game for 1 week. Mm-hmm. He misses it that bad that he's got to practice it by himself like a crazy person, running routes and running in the pocket and running a two-minute offense. And again, I think that anyone who tweeted out that video should be reprimanded, and because it was clear that Russell Wilson was trying to have a private moment
mm-hmm.
by himself with no cameras around, because that's just the type of guy he is.
Yeah, great. He's a great guy, great leader. And it is the first weekend that he's never played while he's been in the NFL. So he actually doesn't know what to do for himself.
He's going to do this every week,
he's
isn't
absolutely
he?
Doing it.
Yeah, he's doing it every single week.
He strikes me as a guy that would have like a new commercial that would come out for like, I don't know, Bose headphones or something like that, sponsoring that particular week of his recovery.
Right.
Like, it's going to be finger week next week. Well, no, that's actually not a good
no,
way to
put
it.
No, that's not.
We'll go back to the drawing board on that one.
Yeah.
But also, this game had a fan on the field, too, right in the first quarter.
Yes, that's right.
We're entering a very dangerous time where I think we're going to have some hard discussions as a society. And I warned you guys about this. We need to see the fans on the field.
Yes.
We need to show us the
show
fans.
Them.
I want to see them getting lit up. I want to see how they run around. I want to be able to grade a fan's performance eluding security forces. We can see them on the internet. The videos are going to get out anyways. Just show them on the national broadcast. I want to have Kevin Harlan narrating it like it's a cat that's running across the field at MetLife.
Yes.
I want to get that little bit of pleasure from watching sports on TV. Why do they not show them?
I need it. I agree. They rob us of the moment. We know the fans there.
Yeah.
We see him run on the field, show the whole thing.
I want to see the fan juke out one security guard who might be a little bit overweight. The security guard falls over, tips over onto his nose, and then the next guy lights him up. That's a beautiful piece of choreography that I think we're deprived of.
Here's a little pro tip for all the media companies out there who are broadcasting these games. You're trying to get everyone to watch your streaming service. Mm-hmm. Have there be a policy on your streaming service that you will always show any fan that runs on the field.
You can pay extra for that.
I would absolutely be like, all right, I'm going to watch this game on the cock and not on NBC.
Yeah, it's weird because, you know, like you see the actual game of football where you've got T.J. Watt just, like, punching people in the face, and then they're like, no, but we can't show this fan.
Yeah, we can't show the fan.
By the way, I did learn today that you're not allowed to punch somebody in football.
Yep.
I knew that you couldn't do it after the play. I knew that you couldn't try to punch them in their face, but you're not allowed to try to punch somebody in their body.
Which is kind of bullshit.
It is bullshit. You should be able to punch.
You should absolutely be able to
That's
punch.
The next iteration of the XFL should be like, guess what? Punching is allowed.
Yeah, punching is back.
Version of football.
Yes,
because we're not anti-football pussies.
We're gonna be able to punch. You can punch any part of the body. It will be fun. It'll be heavyweights punching each other.
Or one guy gets to punch.
Yeah,
one guy per team, and he has a knife.
The Big Ben pump fake. He's been playing with fire. Mm. He just loves to pump. He's pumping all the time, and then he finally pumped himself into a fumble.
Yeah.
No more tuck rule. I learned that tonight. Didn't realize that. I forgot that they got rid of it. But yeah, Big Ben just pump. He just loves to pump fake.
The pump fakes are, and they were talking about it earlier in the broadcast too. They were saying how dynamic his pump fakes are, how he gets everybody to bite on him. And we saw exactly why. It's because when Ben usually tries to do a pump fake, he actually believes he's going to pass the ball.
Correct.
Until the very, very last second.
Correct.
So it isn't really a pump fake. It's just an aborted pass at
yes.
that point.
Yes.
And so you saw him try to do that in this game, and he held on like 1.5 second too late. It looked like he had spider tack on the end of his hand. The ball like stuck in, and he knew that he was in trouble when his arm was fully extended. He's like, well, I've gone too far now, so
yeah,
this is going to end
I'm
poorly.
I'm fucked.
Yeah.
All right, let's. Why don't we do a quick ad, and then I will talk about Aaron Rodgers owning my entire life.
Okay.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana. It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Okay. Packers 24, Bears 14.
All right, you want to do Ravens Chargers?
I think what Aaron Rodgers did today is disgusting. I think it's gross. I don't understand the taunting rules in the NFL. He gets to say, so the exact quote was, "I've owned you all my fucking life. I own you. I still own you." That was to the Bears fans. He said that there was some phantom Bears fan, a woman who was giving him the finger. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that. I would like to see video proof before I believe that.
Wait for all the facts to come out. Yeah,
wait for all the facts to come out. In all seriousness, it was funny because I tweeted that right after, and I had, you know, when you get the Twitter crossover to, it gets retweeted to enough people that have no idea who you are, that I had like 1,500 replies of people just calling me soft and like, this is insane that you actually are this upset about it. I am this upset about it. I'm not obviously upset that he talks shit. The worst part about the entire experience is he's correct. He does own me. He owns my life. The two worst days of my year are when the Bears play the Packers, and I have to watch. It's the same thing every year. And even in the first quarter, I was like, oh my God, like this was an awesome first drive. The game starts, we play great defense, Justin Fields takes him down the field, score a touchdown. This is going to be different. No. It's never different. Aaron Rodgers owns my fucking life, and I'm sick of it, and I'm sad about it.
The thing is, he knows that he owns you. You know that he owns you. It just didn't need to be said.
Right. It was mean.
It was understood. You
it's
know,
mean-spirited.
Like, I get it. It's not like you were sitting here pretending that he didn't own you. It was very mean-spirited. And thoughts and prayers to this one Bears fan on Reddit.
I saw that.
Did you see this? I'm going to do a little Monday reading.
I mean, everything he says is right.
It's one thing as a fan to see Aaron Rodgers saunter into the end zone to score the game-sealing touchdown with his own two hands. It's what he's been doing for literally my entire life as a Bears fan, and sometimes it just be like that. But to hear him... All right, now I'm on Team Aaron Rodgers right now. But to hear him stare the crowd down and yell, "I own you, I still own you," crushed my soul to a new level. It served as a reminder that Aaron Rodgers isn't just an idea. He's a real human being that comes into our city once a year and fucks my shit up. Aaron Rodgers is the boogeyman, and I fully expect him to be there when I die.
Yep.
Staring into my eyes, smiling softly, "I still own you."
Yeah. No, it's terrible. He's 22-5 against the Bears.
Rent-free doesn't begin to cut it.
It's not
situation.
Even rent-free, because rent-free, like, I admit everything. You know what I mean? Like, rent-free is when you're like, it doesn't bother me. It bothers me. It sucks. It sucks how much he owns the Bears. The Bears have beaten the Packers three times in the last decade. One was because Joe Philbin was coaching. Another was Shea McClellan broke Aaron Rodgers in half. So, yeah, remember that, Aaron Rodgers. Shea McClellan fucking snapped you in half, you bitch. That was mean of me. I don't want to stoop to his level.
No,
when he goes low, I go high.
I think that was well deserved. Well, the fact that he went after an entire city made it, I guess, so he could get away with it. Because if you taunt one person, it's a crime. If you taunt a million people, it's a statistic.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not rent-free. It's because he, I admit it, like, it just sucks. He fucking beats the Bears every time, and it sucks, and there's nothing I can do about it, and every time I go into it thinking it's going to be different, and every time it's the exact same thing, and it just is what it is. I just have to... This is why when I was, like, obsessed with him maybe retiring in the offseason, you understand why.
Yeah,
because the idea... Like, the best part of my year was the fact that there was a moment in time when I thought Aaron Rodgers might actually retire.
Well, he definitely considered it, but I think that this is why he came back. I think that he obviously doesn't...
Well, he didn't do it to win Super Bowls.
Well, he doesn't have, like... He's not a football guy. He doesn't, like, bleed football, obviously. He has a wife, and he likes art. So he has other things that he's interested in.
Correct.
Big red flag,
yes.
First of all, in your quarterback.
Huge red flag.
But what he really loves is just making an entire city of people pissed off at him.
It's
he
it's
loves
so,
it.
It's personal. He personally loves to be hated. To do this to the Bears.
I think he hates football fans, and so the best way that he can get back at football fans is just by beating their teams.
So I don't really have any spin zones. I don't have anything positive. I do think Justin Fields played well at times. I also think that like his processing needs to speed up. There's times when he doesn't run when it's clearly a time to run. He kind of like moves to try to get more time for his guys down the field, mm-hmm. and he misses opportunities to pick up plays with his legs. So I, you know, there's Geno Smith just fumbled.
TJ Watt just ran the punch play again.
The punch play. So it's, you know, it's bad. Like, I think the Bears are still in that weird zone of they're not terrible, but they're clearly not good.
Mm-hmm.
If they had won this game, I would have been like, ooh, they might be good. But yeah, Aaron Rodgers owns me. It's awful. I don't even know when we play them again, but it will be another worst day of my year. And it's, as long as he's on the Packers twice a year, every year, I will be miserable and everything will suck and my soul will be crushed.
It kind of kicks
when
ass
do we play
to,
again.
It kind of it kicks ass football. To have a
Sunday
nemesis,
night football.
Though,
can December it be flexed? 12th. Oh, it can be flexed.
Yeah,
that can be flexed. I don't want that. I don't want that.
A flex would probably involve you guys going on a big losing streak.
I don't want that either.
That
might be better than having to do Sunday Night Football. I think it's
going to be Sunday Night Football, and he's going to own you.
Billy, if we get to Sunday Night Football, if it's Sunday Night Football, Bears-Packers, I give you permission to hit me with a frying pan and knock me out. Drop a piano on my head when I'm not looking. Knock me out and wake me up on Monday. Seriously.
Okay, gotcha.
All right, thank you. Other notes from the game, Eddie Jackson can't tackle. That really sucks. And Rasul Douglas should be in jail for what he did to Justin Fields.
Noted. That was a dirty hit. Also, Justin Fields,
jail.
He had another nice fumble recovery today.
Yes, he did.
He's amazing at recovering fumbles.
He's the king of them. And Khalil Herbert is doing a great job as the third running back now because we've had injuries and COVID and all that shit. And then guess what? The Bears have to play the Bucks next week on nationally televised 4:25 games. So that will be awesome. All right, let's keep going. You want to do Chiefs Washington football team?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So I'll just pass the baton of sad.
Okay, this is, we're fucking losers on this show.
Yeah, no, it's Loserville. We all lost. It's Loserville. I'll give you some stats, and then I'll let you take it from there. So the game starts.
Yeah.
Everyone expects the Chiefs to have their big bounce back game. There's big galvanizing. The Chiefs are okay. It didn't go that way. Patrick Mahomes was bad in the first half. He was 13 for 23, 222 yards, 0 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. He sucked. His mom was making excuses on Twitter saying, okay, people, this was talking about the interception where he threw it and it went through Tyreek Hill's hands, bounced up, intercepted. She said, okay, people, that should not be an interception on the QB. That should be a fumble or anything else. Just putting it out there, go Chiefs. I love that from her.
Yeah.
That's ride or die.
I actually like that from
that's
a mom.
Ride or die.
I don't expect him. It would be concerning to me if the mom was like, yeah, that pass could have been better, Patrick.
Yes.
That's what you would expect like a hardcore dad to do.
Yes.
To be like, to actually give honest assessments. But mom has to have your back.
Has to. Yep. All right, so last thing, and then I'll let you just take it from there. But the game turned at halftime. Spot Rack, am I saying that right? I think it's Spot Rack, the place where you can look up all the contracts,
yep.
Tweeted out, Mahomes has $440 million left on his contract, 69 guaranteed through 2023. So, like, we were at that point where it's an absurd tweet to have.
Is Patrick Mahomes an albatross?
Yeah, it's an absurd, but we had reached that point. Like, even Stephen Chay was saying, other quarterbacks get killed for this. Why is Patrick Mahomes get off the hook? Well, I'll tell you why he gets off the hook. Because in the second half, he went 19 for 24, 175 yards, 2 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. And yeah, he's still the best quarterback in the NFL when he's like on.
We were literally having the debate, like, has the league figured out Patrick Mahomes in the first half of this game? And it's like, no, trust me, he's still Patrick Mahomes. He'll be fine. Although if they did want to trade him to the Washington football team, I would give up Taylor Heineke.
Yes.
He's an asset, but
So you take it from there. Taylor Heineke.
I may have spoke slightly too soon on saying Taylor Heineke is our guy. He's a guy. I think he's definitely a guy, and he's there, and he can be the guy. but a lot of times he's just not the guy.
Yes.
And so he had some really bad interceptions today. Didn't play well all in all. But, I mean, the main story going into this week was how, you know, if you had told me week one, when the, you remember when the stadium actually leaked shit mm-hmm. onto Washington football team fans?
I do.
If you had told me that wouldn't be the worst in-stadium experience of the year, I would have probably said that you're crazy. Turns out they figured out a way to one-up it by announcing the Sean Taylor jersey retirement 3 days before they were going to have the game, leading a lot of people to be like, yo, does this have anything to do with the giant fail son Bruce Allen's emails mm-hmm. that keep coming out? And the team denied that it was. Some of the family members close to Sean Taylor were saying that they just heard about it like 3 days ago. I know that they had like an event planned 4 months ago. They said, okay, this is going to be alumni weekend, and we're going to take that opportunity to honor Sean Taylor at halftime. We're going to dedicate a road to him. That was clearly all planned out in advance, but every single time I've seen somebody from the team defend this jersey retirement, they've been very careful with their language, and they've said it was always our intent to honor Sean Taylor. But I haven't seen anything that says, like, literally, we had always planned to retire his jersey. And the Washington football team doesn't retire jerseys. I think we have two other jerseys that we've ever retired in the history of the franchise.
I have a question for yes. you. At least no one did a TikTok on his number on the field, right?
No, that's actually, it was a fire TikTok, though, Jackson Mahomes. He always brings it. So I gotta say, like, the art may have been worth it in that context. No, it was bad. It was bad.
Everything you just said, and then add on the fact that Jackson Mahomes, and there's a picture of him standing in a very roped-off area.
Yes.
That is Sean Taylor's number spray-painted onto the field.
It's like, you know what it's like at the Pro Football Hall of Fame, RIP David Baker.
Oh, fuck,
not
man.
Dead, but...
No, not dead. Well...
Still with us.
As far as we're concerned, yes.
Yeah. So you know how they had Goodell's chair set up behind those ropes? That was like what the spray painted jersey number on the field was, and they definitely had to step over those ropes. He's like, this is actually a great place for a TikTok. Yeah. If, you know what? If I die, I give Jackson Mahomes permission to film a TikTok dance at my funeral.
Okay.
Okay. I would actually like to be memorialized
that
way.
That was tough.
But I gotta say, like, I've seen a lot of dirty shit from this franchise.
Yeah.
And this might cost me my position as the Washington football fan ambassador. But if they literally were exploiting Sean Taylor's death, the one player that I care about,
right.
The one bright spot that we've had, like, Sean Taylor's my favorite football player of all time. Everybody in that city absolutely loves him. And if they were exploiting his death to get the stank off of their front office, or people that used to work in their front office, that's a new low. And I
think they were.
I might be out.
No.
That's a low I never thought that they would ever stoop to.
I kind of actually thought they would.
I might be, yeah. Again, nothing's...
By the way, actually is very Washington football team.
The Bruce Allen emails are very funny, too, because it's very clearly his job as the ultimate fail son, the son of the former coach of the team. His job was like, okay, go sit at a desk for 12 hours a day and email bikini pictures to the guy that you most recently played golf with.
Right.
And then make a joke about a black guy getting an interview.
Right.
And that was your day-to-day job.
Yes.
And obviously didn't produce anything on the field. But I probably shouldn't be shocked at anything at this point, especially after the shit leak situation. But but it's bad. It's really bad if that's what actually like went down,
and
that's how they planned it out.
Yeah. And so in terms of the game too,
yeah.
Well, their defense is bad.
So I said this to JP Finley on Friday when I went on DC. I said, if you're going to plan the Sean Taylor jersey retirement well in advance, how about just not make it against the Chiefs?
Right. Right.
If we truly had this planned out 4 months ago, I don't know. Can we maybe find out when the Lions are coming to town? A game we could actually win.
Yeah.
But to play against the Chiefs, yeah, that was. You know what though? I always had this one circled as a loss when I looked at the schedule. So,
there you go.
So good news is we get to get back on the right track by playing against the Bucs and the Packers.
Ooh.
And at Denver. So pretty good stuff.
Yeah. I mean, like looking at the schedule, do it against the Seahawks Monday Night Football right after Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
like give it a national audience where you can actually honor him.
Mm-hmm.
It's gross. It's disgusting, And also the defense is too.
The defense is really bad.
It's still. Do you know how dumb I am? No one cares about your fantasy team. I drafted the Washington football team in fantasy defense because I was like, they were so good last year. And I just forgot I had done that. And I was just losing. And then I realized this week, I was like, oh, I'm getting like negative points every single week because they're that
bad. So you, by benching your defense, you're scoring more points.
Yes. I picked up the Panthers. I was like, okay, we'll try this. Because it's just, it's baffling they're this bad. I also really, can someone do an investigation onto what Chase Young is doing with his helmet? Did you see in the first half? So the first half, he had like a million pieces of tape.
That was a Sean Taylor thing.
Oh, that was Sean Taylor. And then he took it off, yeah, though. I don't know why he took it off.
Probably because it might be harder to see through it.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, he was doing so. But then he took it off.
I was like, why'd you take it off?
I saw that he changed it. Chase also comes out of the game at weird times.
Yeah, he does.
I don't know why, but like on a third down in the third quarter, I don't know that he should really be off the field because he's still good. I hope.
No, he is very good. No, he's very good. You still have that. I just don't.
Everyone's talking about his consecutive games without a missed tackle streak. That's the new Ravens 100-yard rusher.
That's huge. I just don't. It's baffling to me how they can be this bad. I think that's probably a Jack Del Rio. Like, you're going to have to just fire him and hope it gets better, but then it doesn't help the fact that Taylor Heinicke is not good. He's not. I think we also, the last couple of weeks, we've answered the question: if Ryan Fitzpatrick gets healthy, I think he has his job back.
I would say at this point, yes.
Right. So that kind of tells you everything about Taylor.
But
Heinicke.
We'll always have that Giants game.
We always have that Giants game at Dave and Buster's, which feels like 10 years ago.
Yep.
And
video
we'll,
this week.
What video?
Video this week.
Oh, what, did you guys play a competition?
Maybe.
Who? Billy versus Jake?
Maybe.
And how'd it go?
You'll have to tune in and find out.
Did you win?
A couple.
Oh.
Okay.
Out of how many?
A lot.
Okay.
But they were...
A couple out of a lot.
But they're like cool ones.
It wasn't
they're the cool ones.
You guys
got
didn't do like a sports competition or like anything that involved
athletics. No,
there's
no real sports.
There's no... Yeah.
We should go do some real sports.
Just axe
like throwing. What would you compete with against Jake in? Because I think Jake would beat you in everything.
We could do like 40-yard dash.
Okay.
Bench press max.
Okay.
Squats.
You're describing exercising.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we could also like play basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Not tennis. Cause
what about Papa Shot? That's pretty close to basketball. Did you guys do that?
Like,
oh.
That's,
you must have won that.
No, that's like not real basketball shooting.
Oh, okay.
I actually think Jake could beat Billy in real basketball.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what we're doing on Thursday.
I don't think so.
I think Jake could.
Let's go play basketball.
Billy plays basketball like a football player, and you can't beat that guy one on one. He'll just tackle him.
He would just try to just back Jake down the whole time.
We'll do that.
Okay. No, let's not do that. Let's watch the video where you win a couple out of a lot.
Then we'll make another video.
We might have to suspend you from playing sports after this performance.
Yeah, it's a bad look for all of us.
Yeah.
What?
Because we're fucking losers already, but like at least we still have, you know, the card in our back pockets of, like, I haven't gotten beaten in a decathlon by Jake.
Yeah, and we got this one guy. I always tell people, they're always like, hey, tell me about, like, Part of My Take. I'm like, well, we got this one guy, Billy. He's a sick fucking athlete. So now I can't say that anymore. Mm-hmm. That's always the line I use.
We probably need to drop football from your last name.
Ooh.
That'd actually be nice.
Oh, you don't want it anymore?
Yeah, because...
What the fuck?
Because I don't play football anymore. So I feel like a fraud.
But you haven't for the last couple of years.
Yeah, exactly. So can we just drop it?
All right, fine. Billy, William, that's fine.
Sweet. All right,
we're not dropping it. Last thing about the Chiefs. So Patrick Mahomes he is third now in the NFL in interceptions. Zach Wilson has 9. Trevor Lawrence has 8. Patrick Mahomes also has 8. So he's second, actually. Tied for second.
The one that he had in the first half today was ridiculous.
The second one?
Yeah.
That was... it's weird because obviously anyone who's tweeting out, like, why is Patrick Mahomes get away with this? Well, the reason why he gets away with it is because he has a Super Bowl, he has an MVP, he threw 50 touchdowns, he's fucking electric. There's a reason why he gets, like, rope here.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the same way that, like, Aaron Rodgers gets rope when he has bad games, or Tom Brady. There is something, like, a little off, but I'm not concerned long term. But there is definitely, they're not as sharp as they have been in the past.
The cuteness thing is an issue.
Yeah.
For sure. They, again, got real cute with it today.
He just needs to, honestly.
It's like they're coaching, Andy Reid's calling plays, trying to get boops.
Yeah. I, and, and I, listen, I don't know. I don't want to diagnose someone from afar, but I think maybe Patrick Mahomes should just start taking Adderall. And okay. He probably would just be back to Patrick Mahomes. Because it does feel like he gets like almost bored with the game time.
He's beating it at the final level.
Right.
So he's got to do something to make it hard again. He's got to recapture that.
Well, you know what they're all saying?
What?
That his baby's keeping him up at night. That's like all the Kansas City Chief fans, like diehard ones,
I have a feeling that's not true.
Yeah, he's like Patrick Mahomes. Ever since that kid came around, has been playing well.
Jeez.
Well, the kid's a mush like Jersey Jerry's.
Well,
kid.
No longer. They won. The Steelers won. Which, by the way, T.J. Watt, that was an incredible play, the punch out.
Yeah, good job punching T.J.
good job, T.J.
I don't believe clap that, but TJ.
Yeah, clap it up.
Good job, T.J.
We should talk about X Factor a little bit. He got kicked out of Arrowhead Stadium. He's not allowed back there.
Yes.
Banned for life.
Banned for life.
Bad boy.
Yeah. He was at Raul John today.
He was.
To see him trying to take pictures. Uh-huh. Most famous guy in the world. Kind of upstaging Sean Taylor's day.
Yeah, that's fine though. Yeah, if you have to share a day with one super fan, I'm glad that it's X Factor. His last game ever.
Yeah, his last. Well, he's going to go to away games.
I have a feeling that other teams will rally and support and preemptively ban him. Yeah,
he's going to be blackballed.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was Chiefs Washington football team. Vikings Panthers.
This was actually a great game.
It was, and in large part, so I'm ready to do something that a lot of people will be happy I'm doing. I'm going to give Kirk Cousins his flowers.
Okay.
He was very, very good today. He is winning these games in spite of Mike Zimmer trying to lose them with conservative coaching at the end and just weird things that he's doing. Mm-hmm. Kirk Cousins is now, I think every single game they've played, the Vikings play in a tight game every single week. Mm-hmm. I think all six games, he's had to drive them late, and he's done it. He's in five of the six games, he's driven them into field goal range or a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
So he's playing well. He deserves a lot of credit. The first half was bad. He missed some throws, but the second half he was very good. Three touchdowns. He also, this is a crazy Kirk Cousins stat. Again, I still don't believe in him long term, but giving him his flowers right now, Kirk Cousins is only behind Aaron Rodgers for having the most games with three or more touchdowns and zero interceptions in the last year and a half. He's got 11 games like that, three or more touchdowns, zero interceptions since 2020.
The king of Kirktober.
That's crazy.
Yeah, he played really well today. He's had some bad luck, too, with the kicker situation in Minnesota. The Minnesota Vikings should just not have a kicker.
Yeah, no, won this game twice.
Yeah, he
drove
twice.
Them 46 yards and 42 seconds for a field goal, missed it. Then he drove them 75 yards for a touchdown in overtime.
Yes.
So he gets a double win.
Having to win these games when you have a kicker that kicks for the Minnesota Vikings is extra hard to do.
Correct.
And he went down there, he's like, you know what, we're just going to score a touchdown. So that way, we don't have to worry about sending our field goal kicker out there to miss another one. But
right.
I don't know what you do if you're a Minnesota Vikings fan, because everyone knew, every true Minnesota Vikings fan knew when they put their kicker out there that he was going to miss that field goal at the end of the game. It's just a given that it's going to happen. It must be so torturous to have like a good, solid team that's had opportunities in like the last 15 years to do big things in the playoffs, but just also know we're never going to have a kicker, and so it's never going to work out long-term.
And it's Kirk Cousins.
And it's Kirk Cousins, so yeah, that's another playoff limitation that you have. But he's playing awesome. He's playing really well right now.
And Mike Zimmer's going to, like, die coaching this team because they're in a lot of his own doing. Like, Mike Zimmer basically brought the – I think with, like, a minute left – and obviously Sam Darnold's not good. We were talking about it last week, but Sam Darnold – the idea that Sam Darnold was – fixed because he left the Jets is just insane. He was bad again today, even though his team had seven drops, which is insane. But Mike Zimmer, it was, I think, third and eight with like a minute plus left, and he ran the ball to punt it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, why are you doing this? And you could say to yourself, well, we don't think Sam Darnold's going to go 90 yards. But also, like, Kirk Cousins was having a great game. They were passing all over the place. The Panthers couldn't defend the pass. It's just Mike Zimmer keeps putting Kirk Cousins in situations where Kirk Cousins has to get him out of it. And he's doing it right now, but it's obviously not sustainable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, best case scenario in Mike Zimmer's head was they were going to get it to, like, fourth and one.
Yeah.
And then put all the pressure on Kirk Cousins to try to get that first down. They were not. Sometimes he gets like a little too conservative in his play calling. I thought it was very funny how at the start of the game, on the very first play from scrimmage, Sam Darnold threw an interception. Yeah. I always love it when that happens.
Yes.
It's like it's going to be one of those kinds of days. I actually think that it's better to do that in terms of all the attention that you'd get for a bad interception. It's way better to do it on the very first play of the game because the game hasn't started yet. It's basically a long kickoff return that you just gave up.
Yeah.
He's not fixed.
He's Sam Darnold.
Breaking news. He's not fixed.
He's not fixed.
Yes.
I think the idea of the Jets being so toxic that they could ruin some unbelievable quarterback was so alluring to everyone that we're like, Sam Darnold, he's fixed. Oh, actually, it turns out that the Panthers played the Texans. Mm-hmm. They played the Jets. They did beat the Saints, Saints are just the yo-yo team of the year. But I think we can officially say that the Panthers are not going to be good. They could be frisky.
They could be frisky, but
they're not good.
They're a team that's going to win a game that they have no business winning later on this year. And one thing that's a little concerning to me is Matt Rhule, his dimensions are changing as a human being. It's like he's getting compressed.
He's getting squished.
Vertically. Yeah. He's getting compressed. He's getting wider and shorter.
He's going into the machine that they squish cars in.
Yeah, yeah, the compactor, trash compactor.
Now that I said the Vikings stink, the Panthers stink, I'm looking at it right now. They play the Giants and the Falcons next 2 weeks. So they might end up being back to like, ooh, are the Panthers good?
Mm-hmm.
No, they're not. Just remind us. Jake, set a reminder. Panthers aren't good. Don't fall for it.
It's like Memento.
Set the reminder.
Don't listen to his lies.
For November 1st, please. Sam Darnold was 17 for 41. That's when you're a quarterback, you can't be like that far apart with numbers. You have to throw. If you were 17 for 38.
Yeah, no, the three digits is bad. 1-4.
Right. You can't have that. You have to get to 22 of 45 doesn't look that bad.
But if it's
compared to 17 for 41.
Yeah, 17 out of 40 is way worse than if you go 22 to 49.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right.
The reason why is because at least my brain, I just look at any sort of quarterback completion rating and I just divide it and I check to see if it can go into it twice.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're less than 50%, that's what I look for, and automatically I'm like, okay, that guy sucks.
He stinks.
But if it's over 50%, I'm like, wow, he's a gunslinger.
Yeah.
That's like the line right there between gunslinger and shithead. Is if you can get consistently like 50% of your passes completed in a game, I'll give you a little bit longer of a rope.
And in today's NFL, if you have 17 pass completions, I think once you get past 25 pass attempts, it sucks.
Uh-huh.
Because it's just something about like any number below 20. Even 19's okay. I could deal with a 19. But 17, like 17 for 23 is good. That's a Drew Brees game, late career. But like 17 for 27, that's terrible.
Not good.
That's terrible.
Not good.
So just don't ever get stuck on 17. That looks really, really bad.
You should have had him throw just a screen pass at the end.
Yeah. Okay. Next up, Ravens Chargers. The Ravens are really fucking good. And I think the Chargers, we have to downgrade just a little bit. Mm-hmm. Just a tiny little bit. But the Ravens, like, coming off a overtime emotional win on Monday night to then playing the Chargers today. Chargers, we all think, one of the best teams in the AFC. They fucking killed them.
So I'm going to chalk this one up to a matchup nightmare.
Okay.
I think these two teams just don't match up well for the Chargers, which is one way of saying the Ravens are much better than them.
Yeah, I was going to say that's
without
that's
fully
not good.
Admitting my take that the Chargers are going to be the best team in the NFL. The Ravens, yes, they're very good. They are more physical than the Chargers, especially when they get the running game going. Chargers defense has a little bit of softness to it, turns out.
Yep.
And then the Ravens got Le'Veon Bell. He's on the Ravens. Good reminder, he had a touchdown today.
It actually is crazy. I know that people have been making fun of the Ravens' 100-yard rushing streak because, you know, what they did in Denver and everything where they were running the ball when the game was out of hand. But it is crazy that the Ravens are able to put together this type of running game with, like, what they lost their top three running backs in July and August.
Yes.
And they've been able to cobble it together.
They had 187 yards today, which it actually brings their consecutive game streak to one.
Yes.
No, so they're starting it over again. And, I mean, just the way that it's built, you know, from the inside out, I think that's what you say, right? When,
yeah.
When a team has a strong like offensive line getting good push, you know what they do? They reset the line of scrimmage.
They do.
They live
they
it.
Win it.
They win. They win, win in the trenches. Yep,
every single week.
And
but
yeah,
they're just good. I've talked about the Ravens being frauds in the past. I'm not going to say that this year. I think the Ravens are a legit, very, very good team, and they are in that like group of, I don't know, let's do it real quick off the top of our head, in the AFC. I think it's Ravens, Bills, Chiefs still.
Yep.
And then Chargers. But the Chargers, like, after watching today, are they?
Yeah.
Because that was a big step up. Like, the Chargers have played against two big-time opponents in the Cowboys and the Ravens, and they failed both those tests.
If this game is played at home – wait, was it at home for the Chargers?
It was in Baltimore.
Okay, yeah. So if this game was played at home in Los Angeles with Boltman around, it's a different game.
Okay. But I think that's the list. And I think those are the Ravens, the Bills, the Chiefs, mm-hmm. and maybe the Chargers are the three teams – or four teams that I feel confident about in the AFC being like, okay, I could see this team going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I wanted to say the Browns.
No.
Wanted to.
Can't. What, we could talk about the Browns next.
Well, first, we should also do the thing where, like, when Brandon Staley makes a really good play call on fourth down and gets real aggressive and it works, we cheer him. He went for it on fourth down on his own 19.
19, yeah.
Didn't get it.
I loved it.
So now we have to motherfuck him and
no,
be like, you idiot.
It.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's actually, like, statistically the right call.
It was also the...
I'm a little concerned, though, because they did the thing where you can check and see what your expected win percentage increase would be. And he's getting these calls almost a little bit too perfectly. So he had, like, it was one of the fourth downs that he went for today. It increases win probability by, like, 0.5%. So it was a coin flip, but he chose the right side of the coin.
Right.
And it didn't work out, but he's getting like, I think he actually has a math guy that
yes.
is telling him during the game he has that formula
yeah.
that he's looking up
he's
the
just
entire
on Twitter
time. Yeah,
looking
he's just,
at it.
Yeah, exactly. He just follows, like, what is it, Pro Football, not the Focus one, Football Outsiders.
Yeah, yeah.
He just has a subscription to there.
I did think, though, that was actually that fourth down that you're talking about. I think it was like they were on their own 19 and they were down 24-6, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
That was the reverse of the sad field goal from Dan Campbell. That yeah. was the we're going to keep trying to win this game.
Mm-hmm.
The Chargers got punked. Like that was just an ass kicking. Mm-hmm. So I actually, in a weird way, if you're a Chargers fan, all five of you, that is a game that you're probably weirdly like we needed that because that's you're a young team. Trying to accomplish big things, kind of a reset, like, oh, we're not there, let's get hungry again.
Yeah, Billy, can you give me, like, a power ranking on, like, the clown shit? And, yeah, compare, like, clown shit to the shit pumping to they got run over by a wagon.
So, like, a shit pumping is more of just beating but not making the other team look comically bad.
Okay.
But, like, putting up tons of numbers, it's more of a numerical stat, whereas clowning is, like, doing Patrick Mahomes underhand passing type stuff, even throwing ridiculously bad interceptions while still being the other team, but statistically, numerically, you can't tell that it was an absolute clown show.
Got it.
Okay, got it.
Got it. So that actually makes sense.
Yeah. So was there a clown show this week?
There was a clown show.
Where was it?
The Kansas City Chiefs did end up clowning them.
Right. Oh. It was happening. You're like, oh, that's some clown shit.
It's fair.
Yeah.
And I think PFT was like, no, that's not clown shit. And you're like, no, that was clown shit.
There was clown shit.
That's
and
the
then,
high level talk we're having on Sunday afternoons.
Other side of it, more clown shit, but like a different type of clown shit. But then it was a clown show.
Okay.
it was so funny. If you, I sometimes think like if we could just put someone from a different country sit with us for an entire Sunday, like what the fuck are these guys talking about? Because I vividly remember the conversation happening when you were like, that was some clown shit. Mm-hmm. And PFT was like, no, that wasn't clown shit. They're not getting clowned.
I think
like,
I said,
no, bro, that was clown shit.
I think I was like, that's not clown shit. That's some fuck shit. And then you're like, no, that's clown. And I was like, no, it's not clown, that's fuck.
Fuck shit would happen at the end of the Cowboys-Patriots game.
There was some fuck shit.
It was like the back and forth. Like, that was some fuck shit.
That was some fuck shit.
Do referees get suspended? Can referees get suspended?
Yeah.
Because the one ref in the
Patriots-Cowboys
game where he turned on his fucking microphone and he made the signal of hold – But then he just didn't point in a direction to tell us which side it was going to for 30 seconds. That referee should be penalized.
Absolutely.
We need to get that out of our game.
Yes.
No absolutely. One wants to see that.
Absolutely.
Fuck shit, the refs are usually involved.
Yeah.
So, okay. like,
that's
Giants,
when fuck shit happens. Yeah. 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 All right. We mentioned the Browns almost being, almost want to put them in the AFC contenders category, but let's do that game next. Cardinals 37, Browns 14. The Browns are teetering. I think the Browns are, like, they have to play short week at home, thankfully, against the Broncos, but they're teetering along like the lines of shit might fall apart because everyone's injured. Like, they were missing both their offensive tackles. They were missing Nick Chubb. Kareem Hunt got hurt. Baker Mayfield's shoulder definitely is affecting him, but the wheels are starting to come off for the Browns season.
Yeah, once you lose Chunt, that's the formula for them winning games. It's just like pound him in the face with these two really good running backs and then let Baker do some play action stuff. So Baker's going to keep playing. He's got a non-throwing shoulder that he just keeps dislocating.
Yes.
And so it's just going to happen every time he like lands on it.
And it definitely is affecting him, his like ability to run and want, desire to run.
I would say desire to run.
But that matters for his game. And I like, we're a Baker podcast. We defend Baker, but I also think questions are fair right now. Let's just say that.
Well, he's hurt.
He's hurt.
He's hurt. Also, Odell Beckham, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Every time he's on the field, it just doesn't work. I don't know what it is. The chemistry, I don't know what it is. They need Jarvis Landry back.
He's definitely a good football player, but he also sucks.
Yeah.
Simultaneously.
Yes.
How is that possible?
I don't know. I just keep thinking of him taking like a slant to the house for the Giants and being like, where's that guy?
Yeah.
Like, why isn't that guy still here?
Well, he's still there, but he sucks now.
Yeah. It's crazy. And if they didn't get the Hail Mary, it actually would have looked way, way worse. They get a Hail Mary at the end of the first half to score, you know, to make it like 23-14. You're like, ooh, this game might be on, but it was never on. The Cardinals are a lot better than the Browns right now. And the Cardinals deserve a lot of credit because, like, even with all those injuries, the Cardinals didn't have their coach, and they are now, like, winning games. You know, they keep it tight with some bad opponents, but they kicked the shit out of the Browns today.
Also, J.J. Watt had a Watt punch.
He did.
He did. He learned that from his brother. But, yeah, he had a nice little strip sack. Which Watt do you think we would rather have right now? Still T.J.?
Yeah.
If we're doing Watt power rankings.
Yeah, I would say so.
TJ,
no
Derek,
offense to JJ, but
TJ's
in
Derek,
his prime.
JJ.
Yeah, TJ's, I think JJ would probably say that.
In that order, yeah.
TJ is in his prime.
But yeah, the Cards, we said last week, if you win this game, I'm officially retracting my stance that the Cardinals give off candy-ass vibes.
Yeah, no, they're good.
I'm retracting the word candy-ass. I think that they're just a good team.
Kyler Murray is playing out of this world, and he didn't even need to run today. Like, that's the piece with Kyler Murray. When he doesn't even have to run and he does that, he looked awesome passing the ball. They didn't have Cliff Kingsbury. He's probably the MVP right now if people voted. But yeah, he was awesome, and the Cardinals are very much for real.
So let's play a fun game. It's called Guess Who the Arizona Cardinals Backup Quarterback Is. Got in the game today. I think he had one rushing attempt. Who would you guess?
John Skelton?
No.
Remember him?
Billy Evans?
Remember that guy?
That guy just seemed destined to live as a backup on the Cardinals.
Yes, yes.
It's Colt McCoy.
Oh!
Colt McCoy is still in the league.
Good for Colts.
And he's playing backup in Arizona. Good for him.
Good for Colts. But yeah, the Browns, I'm very nervous about the Browns. All the Browns fans we know, the season looked very promising to start. Because the problem with the Browns is right now, you can play the game of, like, we went toe-to-toe with the big boys only so much. Mm-hmm. And then eventually you're just like, well, we keep losing to the big boys, and maybe we're not even close to them. You know what I mean? Because I think the Browns, like, started the season when they lost to the Chiefs. You're like, ah, well, they went toe-to-toe with the Chiefs, and they almost won that game. That's almost weirdly a win. They lost to the Chargers. Oh, they went toe-to-toe with the Chargers. They got fucked by the refs. And they got fucked by the refs, by the way, this game, too. The roughing the passer. I don't know what roughing the passer is anymore.
No, it was just like a shoulder bump.
It's crazy.
I don't even think Kyler Murray fell down, did he?
No, it's insane what gets called roughing the passer now. But the I'm worried about the Browns. Let me just say that.
Is it fair to ask if the Cardinals are a super team?
Mm.
They're in that super team conversation.
They got
right
enough
now.
Names.
They got names.
They have a ton of names.
If they've got so many names, if
they
had
traded for Zach Ertz.
They got Ertz. Yeah. It feels like a super team. That feels like one of those ones where Ertz was like, hey, if you're going to trade me, can you send me someplace good? And, like, you know, he had been with the Eagles for so long that he probably had, like, some goodwill, and he picked where he was going to go on that trade.
Yeah.
But, yeah, listen to these names. A.J. Green, Christian Kirk, DeAndre Hopkins at wide receiver, Rondale Moore at wide receiver. Those are some names.
Those are some names.
And Larry Fitzgerald, as first reported on Part of My Take, will be returning probably in December.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They might be a super team. 6-0, only undefeated team left. What are you going to say, Billy?
These NFL super teams creep up on you.
Yeah, they do.
They're just sneaky.
Yeah.
Where'd this
come from?
I would say they're a low-key super team.
Yeah.
I also just, like, the Cardinals still have to, I think the Cardinals have to win multiple Super Bowls before I start respecting them.
Yes.
Like, as an idea in my head. And I know that's mean to say, but it just is. It's a fact.
Yeah. And what also, like, confuses me when I'm looking at the Cardinals coaches on the sidelines, the birds point in different directions.
Mm-hmm. They got to get that figured
depending
out.
Depending on which piece of equipment you're, like, on the hat, I think it points one way, and on the chest, it points the other way. Figure that out. Make it easy on us.
Figure it out.
Give that Cardinal some teeth.
Okay. Two more games. Let's do Raiders-Broncos. Rich Bisaccia. What a guy. We knew, so we all bet the Raiders. Probably the only bet we won today. Rich Bisaccia. Booger called him a foxhole guy. You see him on the sidelines. He's got the old man glasses that tear apart.
Yeah, so the magnetic ones in the middle.
Put them together. Great, great gray goatee. Rich Bisaccia had these guys fighting hard. I think they got something with this. I think they can ride this wave for a little bit because it's clear, like, you know instantly whether a team is playing for their interim head coach or not.
Mm-hmm.
They are playing for Rich Bisaccia. He also had a great quote after. He said, the part of me, he was talking about getting back, you know, into a game situation. He said, the part of me that was getting back on the grass was the best. The worst part was figuring out the headset, which is such a football guy. Like, he doesn't know this email, this fax. What do you fax it to someone?
Yeah, that's like when Bruce Arians goes out there. And I think Bruce is the only coach in the league that has, like, the chest kit where it looks like he's strapped up with a bomb.
Yeah.
That's got to be confusing for any first-time head coach, especially an interim one, where you're a special teams coordinator. You've probably, you know, been around head coaches for a number of years. But until you put that shit on, there's buttons and stuff. You don't know about buttons. You know how to coach football.
Yes.
And one thing I learned about Rich Bisaccia today is that he was the guy that was brought in to fix the San Diego Chargers special teams the year after they had the worst special team unit ever, 2010, when they had the best offense in the league, best defense in the league, and their special teams were so bad that they didn't even make the playoffs. He's the guy that they called in to fix the biggest disaster.
That's
so
Rich
this guy can handle a locker room that might be a little chaotic, you might say. So, yeah, Rich Bisaccia, love betting on him. I think we're going to have to just keep betting on Rich Bisaccia.
Absolutely going to have to keep betting on Rich Bisaccia. They're playing for him. You saw all the quotes afterwards. It's clear that they're going to rally around Rich Bisaccia. Booger told us this, and, I mean, we believed him, and we did it. But, yeah, the Raiders, and we should talk about the Broncos. The Broncos are, I think, the biggest, tied with the Panthers, the biggest fraud start of the season. They beat the Giants, the Jags, and the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
And we all kind of like, ooh, maybe, because we, you know, like Vic Fangio, his frustration challenges went to a different level today.
It was insane. He was challenging plays that, because they would, like, score a touchdown. The opponent would score a touchdown, or some bad would happen on the field, and he'd be like, maybe if they look at it again, something different will have happened.
He was challenging plays simply that he didn't like the outcome.
Oh, no, it was Noah Fant, right?
Yeah.
He came down with his foot very clearly on the line.
100% out of bounds.
And he was just like, I'd like to challenge that because I would have preferred that play went a different way.
And then he did it again when a Raiders player, I think it was Ruggs, caught a ball, and it was not even, like, the ball didn't even come close to touching the ground.
Mm-hmm.
He just threw the challenge. He's like, I don't like the outcome of that play.
Yeah, he should not have access to the challenge flag anymore.
They
should lock it up.
It was a bad scene because it truly was like it was reminiscent of like a little kid just trying to change the rules of something in the middle of the game, being like, I don't like how this is going. Timeout. let's change how the rules are interpreted here.
I also think we might be on Vic watch. I think Vic Fangio is probably on his last season.
The thing that he has going for him is he has already got 3 wins in his back pocket. So it's a little different than Joe Judge, but I would agree. I think Vic Fangio is probably not going to make it out of this year. And Teddy Bridgewater was bad today. Mm-hmm. He had 4 turnovers, which is very un-Teddy-like. But yeah, Vic Fangio, he'll go
back to being a defense coordinator somewhere and build an awesome defense.
It'd be incredible.
That's just how it's going to work.
He's the best defensive coordinator in the game right now. Next week now is building up. Thursday night is building up to be a loser leaves town game with Denver and Cleveland. Because it feels like whoever loses that game is going to be real doom and gloom.
Because
both teams are like, if we are for real, we should win this game easily.
So Cleveland is 3-3 right now. To me, I thought that the Browns, if you'd asked me just off the top of my head, what's the Browns' record, I would have said probably like 4-2.
I would have said like 6-3.
Yeah.
And I just been like, we're not in week 9?
I forgot about that Chargers loss already. I forgot about the Chiefs game. Well, that's what it is. The Chiefs game at the start of the year, that felt like a win for the Browns.
It was a huge win.
That was a big-time win.
It was a huge win.
They lost 33-29, but they really won.
Right.
29-33.
Yes. But yeah, the Broncos are in trouble. Rich Bisaccia, though, is a hero. We are on Rich Bisaccia. We're going to ride this wave.
Mm-hmm.
Next week, they're playing the Eagles. Ride it. Love it.
Yep.
Rich Bisaccia. I'm
all on board.
And he's just like everything about him, like he just has a look to him. It's like, yeah, he's very smooth. Like this guy.
It's a guy that you can tell he shaves his head every day.
And he coached for 38 years without getting a head coaching gig.
Probably because he didn't want one, right?
No, he did, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He probably, something Rich did in the interviews probably didn't go so well.
Yeah,
you know what it is? Persecution of Italians.
Yeah, there you go.
Most persecuted class in the world.
I actually thought that it was just like the mark of a true football guy. If you coach for that long and you just never want to be a head coach,
yeah,
you just like being around the guys, just being in the locker room.
Yeah, once you're a head coach, you got to be their dad. Mm-hmm. You'd rather be their fun uncle.
Yes, Bruce Arians, right?
Yes, Bruce Arians. All right, last game, Cowboys-Patriots, Hank. This is, Billy said, the fuck shit game of the week. I still don't really know how the Patriots didn't cover 3.5. That was complete and utter bullshit. Hank, though, your thoughts on this game, because it felt like PFT put it perfectly earlier. The Patriots are really good at almost winning games.
Yeah, that's pretty much their identity this season. Their defense is horrible. Couldn't make a stop. Cowboys were getting like 15, 20-yard plays, it seemed like, every other play.
445 yards, the most a Bill Belichick defense has ever let up against a quarterback.
It was wild. Every single time Dak would, you know, drop back, not a ton of pressure, and then just get a wide-open guy in the middle of the field for like 30 yards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are you concerned about your head coach bleeding from the mouth during this game?
No, I mean, that's vintage Belichick.
Get
love
this
that.
Guy some Doesn't, chapstick.
I'm not a chapstick guy. That's like chapstick. It poisons your brain to convince you that you need more chapstick.
That's
so
true.
Once you use it once, you get dependent on it.
That is true.
Same thing with water.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but water, you need
never
water.
Drink water.
You don't need chapstick unless you use chapstick. I've never used it. Never needed it.
It's built different.
That's interesting.
But yeah, it seemed like there was going to be some Mac magic at the end. This was going to be like his showing up game. It wasn't. Bad pass to that got intercepted.
Yeah, I mean, credit to him.
It was a good. He threw multiple passes over 10 yards today, so it's like there was some looks in the right direction.
And credit to Mac Jones, because he threw that interception, and then he went right back and threw that touchdown. So it's like, hey, that was nice that he was able to shake it off. It's crazy that, again, it's crazy they didn't cover.
There was also like 3 or 4 fourth and 1, fourth and 2, fourth and 3s that they just punted every single time, and it's like they knew they couldn't stop them, so why not just go for it?
No, that was a big-time give-up play at the end where I think it was like 4th and 2 around midfield. And it's like you have to try to win the game here. If you give Dak the ball, they're just going to score. Right. Everybody knows it.
I'm going to say something that's probably going to hurt you, Hank, but that game was a game that the Patriots always win and the Cowboys always lose.
Yeah, I mean, Patriots are 0-3 at home. It's just not. It's a different Patriots team than the Patriots that we're all used to.
Mm-hmm. Did you see Jerry Jones kissing people on the lips in his suite afterwards?
Beautiful.
Up in the booth?
It's beautiful.
Just guys going
Love
in for
dead.
Yeah, it's not pause. It's not sus. if it's right after a big win on the road.
Yeah.
And no, I think that was his first time ever winning in Foxborough.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Like, that's a game every right Cowboys...
to open tongue, open mouth, kiss his uncle if he wants to.
Yeah. And I think the Cowboys, like, I don't really know what the Patriots are. I think they're a frisky bad team, or maybe a
team you don't want to see late in the season.
There you go. That's actually perfect. But credit to the Cowboys, because, like, it's never easy. Every game is tough in the NFL unless you're playing against, you know, the Texans or whatever. But that was a game it felt like the Cowboys always lost. Yeah. And I
kept waiting for the big mistake.
Right, and right.
I didn't get my good fix of a big Cowboys mistake or, like, Mike McCarthy just, like, complete and total brain fart that
right.
I usually get.
Something you're waiting for that the Cowboys were able to just overcome. And Tony Romo calling that game, Hank said he should be fined by the FCC.
Mm-hmm. I actually agree with Hank.
Yeah. No, I
have Tony Romo, bad performance today.
That was actually – that's probably if like, in 20 years when they write the book about Pardon My Take, I think that, like, us being the first to say, Tony Romo, not that good.
Mm-hmm. That'll be a big one.
That will be a big one for
but
us.
He's
I think people
today.
Are starting to slowly come around.
And once you get Hank started going down a very slippery slope, so he hears one bad thing that Tony Romo says, now you've got his attention. And mm-hmm. now he's listening to everything.
Oh, he was on him.
He is picking up.
He was on his ass.
Even the smallest, most microaggressions that probably weren't even real, mm-hmm. but Hank was, you were observing them like a dog that can hear.
No,
really
he was like, he was like trolling Patriots fans.
Yeah. No, he's trolling, like, you personally.
The Patriots don't throw it deep. And he's like, if I was Mac Jones, I'd throw it deep, knowing that that's what fans internally want. And he knows that they're not going to, but he's just fucking with us.
Hypothetically.
Like, oh, if I was Mac Jones here, I'd be bombing it 30 yards. Every play.
Is it possible, like, that Tony Romo actually thought that Mac Jones should try to throw the ball a little bit deeper?
No, I think he was trolling.
He was trolling.
the homerism was blatant the entire day.
Either way, I do think
as
Mac
an announcer,
Jones,
Jake, I'm sure he wasn't. He didn't. I don't think he saw the whole game. But he would have been disgusted if he heard what was happening.
Yeah, but the Patriots playing, like, two out of the last 3 weeks in, like, primetime slots, or, you know, this wasn't a prime time, but it was. When there's only two other games. You're right. I do think Mac Jones is, like, he's getting better.
Yeah, like I said, he had multiple, usually before there was no big throws. He had a few today.
Yeah, a few big throws. So Trayvon Diggs had his seventh interception. He then got burned on the next play. But I went and looked back because I was just curious for some context. In the last, obviously interceptions aren't the end-all, be-all stat for cornerbacks, but they're obviously a big deal. In the last 40 years, there's only been four cornerbacks who have been defensive player of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Rod Woodson had 8 interceptions in 1993. Deion Sanders had 6 in 1994. Charles Woodson had 9 in 2009, and Stephon Gilmore had 6 in 2019. So Trayvon Diggs already has more interceptions than half of the cornerbacks mm-hmm. that won Defensive Player of the Year.
The record is 14 in a season. You know who has that?
Who?
Dick Night Train Lane.
Ah.
Great name.
Old Dick.
All-time nickname. I mean, your name is Dick Lane,
mm-hmm.
and you even have a cooler nickname than your name, Dick Lane.
Right.
Night Train.
Yes.
Badass guy. He had 14 interceptions. I feel like at some point, they just have to stop throwing to his side of the field, right? Because the Deion Sanders stat that you had in 1994, that was still well in the era of teams being like, we're just not going to throw.
Yeah, yeah, right.
I'm gonna cut the field in half, whatever side that Deion's on, I'm going the other direction. At some point, teams have to stop throwing him the ball.
But then they scored the touchdown against him. And I don't know if safety obviously needed
there,
to be helped, but he did get turned around.
Yeah.
Trayvon Diggs did bite on it and get turned around. Yeah. Off the line. I don't know if it probably wasn't 100% his fault, but he also was out of position.
Right. But I feel like at some point they're just going to stop passing the ball his direction. So he would be my MVP right now. 7 interceptions is crazy through 6 games. But I feel like in the next couple weeks, he's probably not going to get above 10 interceptions on the year. The opportunity.
Like Chandler Jones getting those 5 sacks. We still were waiting for 6.
Is he still alive? Is he around?
5. All time. Week 1, everyone remembers Chandler Jones, get everyone talking about it, and, like, you'll remember him all year. He put in all his work week 1.
Yep.
He's like, I'm good.
It's smart.
Yeah.
It's smart. Smart way to do business. I don't even think he showed up. He might not have played today.
I think he did play today.
Did he?
Yeah, I think he played today. All right, those are the games. Cowboys are good. Cowboys are good. It's weird to say, but the Cowboys are a good team. Actually, let's do it for the NFC. So the NFC, we did it for the AFC. Super Bowl contenders in the NFC. I think it's Cowboys, Bucks, Packers.
Rams.
Rams.
Cowboys, Bucks, Packers, Rams. Cardinals. Yeah, we almost unintentionally disrespected the Cardinals.
I got them. But those are the five.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So it sounds like we're six weeks into the season, a third of the way through the season, it feels like there's about nine teams total that I could be like, I could see them being in the Super Bowl.
Well, I'm going to take one away. I don't think that the Packers can be in the Super Bowl this
year. Because Aaron Rodgers he doesn't win NFC Championship games. All right, I like that. That's true.
So Packers are eliminated.
I appreciate that you did that to me. That was a big friendship moment right there. All right, let's get to football guy.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
All right, Billy, football guys of the week.
So last week's winner was Dan Campbell for crying. Many are saying he cried too early in the season now, so that could have changed. He won last week. That's all that counts.
Yep.
So our first nominee is Owen Begman, an O-lineman from McQuaid High School in Rochester, New York, who broke his leg.
Okay.
Look, these are great. These are great football guys. Right, like, what if I just had a bunch of like
How'd
stories?
How'd you find this story?
Oh, I'm deep in football.
People are just
Twitter.
Sending it to you because they know.
No,
that
this
you'll
is...
highlight these high school football stories.
Yeah, well, they're some of the best stories.
Okay.
So some of the most football played. Like, think about it. Like, there's more high school games than there are college. And then pro. Whoa. Anyway.
It's more football. Dang.
So he broke his leg, and he was getting carted off. It looked like a really bad fracture, like probably
How
one
do
of
you know?
Because I can see the video.
Oh, there's a video?
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, he gets carted off in a stretcher, and while he's getting carted off, instead of just giving the crowd a thumbs up, he gives them a thumbs up and like a whipping type motion where he's like pretending he's driving off the cart, which is pretty chill because it just shows that yes, he's okay, but he's more than okay. He's
okay.
Whipping
We've
it
lost
off the field.
Plot on football guy
I,
there.
I think I get it. He's
if you saw
he's ghost riding the whip.
Yeah, but that's not a football guy.
Yeah,
that's a football guy.
No, that's not a football guy.
I thought you were going to say like someone leg? Tossed him a beer and he chugged
just
it. And
wait,
smashed
wait.
It.
Okay.
Anyway, the second
like,
one.
Like someone beat the number two team in the country and then chugged a beer on the field.
No, well, that's number three.
Okay.
Oh, shit.
Anyway, so second one is they didn't have, this one is also high school football, high school football game between Elmwood, Brimfield, and Lewiston High School. They didn't have a quarter for the coin toss, so they just decided to do rock, paper, scissors in order to get the game going
again,
faster.
That's not football guy.
That's a football guy.
No, it's not.
They want to play the game sooner.
They could have just said, "You get it first, we'll get it second."
Billy,
I know, but they just did it.
They played rock paper scissors before game. That's your
football
guy?
Instead of the coin flip.
Are you acting like the game would never have been played if they?
Well, they just wanted to get going
it's like
faster.
Zoolander?
Yeah,
they're like, "Oh, we don't have a quarter. The game's canceled.
We can't. Sorry."
Okay,
everyone
so
go home.
Number three is Greg Long. Purdue offensive lineman,
yes.
Who after a beer was thrown on the field, he didn't want to waste it. He chugged it during.
Now we're getting
they're
closer.
Winning.
Yes,
when they beat them 24-7.
Let's talk about that game real quick. We got to give a shout out to Purdue. I know that I have mean words about Purdue, but that was a hell of a win. Also, crazy stat: Purdue has the most wins as an unranked team in the history of college football against the number one or number two team, with nine times they've done it in the history of the program, and the next closest is four.
That's kind of crazy where it's like at the same time a very good compliment and indictment of the Big Ten on one like where, because they have so many teams that have been ranked number one that are also capable of losing to a team like Purdue.
Some of them are they beat Notre Dame, I think. A lot of them happened a long time ago, but they beat Ohio State when they were number two a few years ago. But that was a big, big win for Purdue.
Mm-hmm.
And Iowa, I'm sorry, Iowa. Iowa fans, they were starting to really feel, you know, because they were doing the like.
Oh, we'll always have that week.
Yeah, and Iowa fans, again, Iowa and Wisconsin are very similar in football programs and like how everyone like reacts to it. So Iowa was just reacting to the fact that everyone hated watching Iowa football from a national perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But they were starting to feel themselves like, you're going to fucking watch it and you're going to like it because we're fucking number two in this, the country, and there's nothing you can do about it. Well,
yeah, we're making
Big Bad Purdue walked in and stole your lunch.
They were like,
money.
We're making ugly sexy.
Right.
We've got the best fullback and center, which I still think they have the best fullback and
center.
Yeah,
no, they're still a very good team.
They're still really
good. They're a very good team. But yeah, that was short-lived.
Yeah, it was fun, though. I'm glad that we got to give Iowa a shout-out.
Yeah, number two for a while. But yeah, Purdue, that was a hell of a game. Because they not only beat them, they whooped them. In their house.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
The last nominee is Bill Belichick for playing with blood streaming down his face and not using chapstick.
Which, that is a football guy.
I'm not so sold on the fact that it was just chapped lips. I think he had like an internal mouth injury.
He also had a cut on his nose.
Yeah.
So he got in a fight with like a raccoon that was trying to eat his trash. There was probably some type of wild animal that was going through his trash, and he's like, they're going after my secrets. And he like wrestled with a raccoon.
It was Steve.
Yeah.
Steve going through his trash.
Steve's still doing the crazy mouse stuff.
It's amazing.
Just put a dip in, dude.
It's amazing how they caught him on the sidelines, and for the like only 2 seconds that the camera showed him today, he was doing the mouth thing.
Yeah.
I saw Bill, once he started tasting blood inside his mouth, he started doing the mouth stuff, too.
Belichick's weird birds. All right. Thank you, Billy. You're going to write the blog?
I've already got it.
Okay. Awesome. Football guy of the week. Go vote on it. All right. Let's wrap up. Let's do Who's Back of the Week, and we'll send everyone on their ways. Paul Bissonnette, Biz Nasty, on Wednesday's show. Get excited. It's going to be awesome.
From TNT.
Listen up. We've got some tea, and you all are going to be obsessed. We spoke with the Abercrombie team, and they told us that they were going to launch a wedding shop. Well, we lost it because, as you know, we are both getting ready to get Abercrombie and Hitched. The whole vibe of Abercrombie these days is clothes you'd wear for a perfect long weekend, and all their customers were like, hey, we spend long weekends traveling for weddings these days. And then Abercrombie was like, we love that. Let us just give you everything you could ever possibly want and love to wear for all things wedding. So they did. It has everything. Tons of dresses, jumpsuits, pants, swimsuits, pajamas, pantsuits, and all perfectly curated for different events, bachelorettes, brunches, showers, ceremonies as a guest and ceremonies as a bride, reception, and even honeymoon. It is incredible. Check out the Abercrombie Wedding Shop on Abercrombie.com. Go shop it now.
Hank.
My Who's Back of the Week is America's pastime, baseball.
Yes.
MLB playoffs have been buzzing along. The Braves hit a walk-off as we were recording this. They're up 2-0. The Red Sox are tied 1-1 going into this week.
I'm going to watch big baseball
week.
This week.
It's going to be a big week.
I'm going to watch baseball this
playoff
week.
Playoff baseball, it's similar to playoff hockey for me personally, where watching the regular season doesn't matter how much. Even if I bet it, I just don't get that interested in it. And playoff baseball and playoff hockey, like I don't even have to have any rooting interest in the game. You can just feel the intensity. Like the Dodgers Giants game 5 was an all-time intense baseball rivalry game.
It made the case great for robot umps.
Yeah.
At least for the check swing
bullshit.
Thing.
I feel
like first base umpires just make it up most of the time when they ask to appeal to first base.
His explanation was, I thought he went, so I called it a strike.
Yeah, that's it. Like,
it's like, well, I guess we can't argue with that.
I'm pretty sure the human eye isn't capable of determining like what angle a bat is at during a check swing from 90 feet away.
The rules itself, like, you don't actually, you have to offer up. It's so stupid.
Yeah. So
baseball's back, though.
Baseball is big time back. When it comes to appealing a strikeout like that, what if the catcher had never pointed at the first base umpire?
They always do.
Does the first base umpire, though, like, does he have in his head, he's like, I have to wait if they call on me. If I get called on, he's out. But
This is my moment. That's what he was thinking.
Yeah.
He had a strut. Like, he walked it off and walked it off.
Yeah. I'm going to watch some baseball playoffs this week. Because
Same.
It's very weird on a college football Saturday and NFL Sunday. I did not see a single pitch of Game 2 of the Red Sox Astros or Game 1 of the Braves Dodgers. Not even a pitch.
Two grand slams in two innings.
I'm gonna get on that shit. All right, I'm gonna start watching that.
What I like about playoff baseball is the players actually care about the game, and a lot of times during the regular season, they're just like they're bored when they're at the game. It's like, this is August, it's hot outside, this sucks.
Shout out Jock Peterson's bat too, Anthony Rizzo's bat. But that's what I'm rooting for in that series, just so everyone knows where my allegiances lie.
Fair enough.
PFC.
My Who's Back of the Week is Succession.
Yes.
Succession's back on. It was out tonight. No spoilers, please. We haven't seen it yet. Hank, are you caught up?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so they just...
Well, no.
Not caught up?
I'm an episode behind.
Imagine if we found a way to watch the episode while we were here and then spoil it to Hank. We wouldn't do that.
That'd be amazing. Actually, should we delete this entire part? Because now people are definitely going to...
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll delete it, guys.
Okay, thanks, Hank. Appreciate it. Wait. Are you going to prank me?
Yeah, no, I got you.
All right, who's back, PFT?
My Who's Back of the Week is not the TV show Succession, because I don't watch it, and so it'd be pointless if somebody tried to spoil it for me, because it's not like I spend my time watching it or reading fan theories about it, so don't even bother.
Okay, nice.
Greg dies.
Good Who's Back.
God damn it.
Greg the Egg.
Should we do a
recap on Wednesdays?
Yeah. Succession isn't owned, it's leased.
Yes.
Rent is due every day.
We won't call it that, but we will do a recap on Wednesdays. We'll do like a 5-minute quick recap. If you watch the show, maybe put it before Guys on Chicks. We all watch the show here. It's a very awesome show.
Guys on Success.
Yeah. All right, my Who's Back is... the Chicago Sky won the WNBA championship. If you don't remember, I was a two-time, I don't think you say two-time, two, I owned season tickets for 2 years.
Oh, congrats.
So, huge day.
Do you get a ring?
I don't think so. I missed the game. It was on during NFL Sunday, but I just told you that part about baseball, so that's not sexist of me. I just don't watch other sports in the fall.
It's nice to be an owner of a franchise in Chicago and be able to say, I own these tickets.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
It's cool.
That is cool. Yeah. I don't own them anymore. But, yeah. Is this an Aaron Rodgers thing? God damn it. Yeah. Shout out to Sky. And also, Who's Back is Live Sports, because I went to Tennessee on Saturday night. It was fucking awesome. The fans might have gotten a little out of hand.
I say let them throw.
Throwing golf balls and mustard bottles.
I heard you were encouraging it.
I was. I actually was just standing on the field with a huge hot dog being like, has anyone got any mustard? And that's how it all started.
It's very funny that people actually went to games with golf balls in their pockets.
Yeah, I was thinking about it. Either that person is just such a down-in-the-dumps Tennessee fan that they're like, at some point I'm going to want to throw this golf ball at someone. Or most likely it was just... like a drunk dude who was golfing earlier than the day.
Yeah.
And just forgot.
You're wearing cargo shorts and it's in that pocket. Maybe you haven't watched it from the last time that you went golfing. It happened to be there. And honestly, if you like pick up a golf ball at a game and you're frustrated, it must feel so satisfying to throw the golf ball. You're naturally going to throw the golf ball. As long as no one gets hurt, I say litter.
Yes.
I'm pro litter at football games.
But Knoxville was incredible. That stadium is awesome. We were on the field for like the beginning of the game. Just sick. College football, there's nothing like college football from like a live sports action, like the band, everything. What were you going to say? You think something's better?
No, I was going to say, should we talk about the more unfortunate college football news?
What?
Oh.
Our boy.
Coach O got fired because he's too horny.
It's a separation agreement.
Thank you.
And you know what?
That's the official word.
It was mutual.
Yeah.
It was his idea as much as it was theirs. They're going to stick around for the kids for the rest of the year.
Yep.
Try to make it work. And I'm sure that'll go fine.
Sorry, Coach O's a red-blooded American.
The problem is, like, he's too vivacious.
Yeah.
He's too in shape. His libido is too robust. And all he was doing is he saw a woman and he... invited her to work out with him. Is that a crime?
She happened to be pregnant and also the wife of a high-level guy at LSU. But that, to me, actually is he was looking out for the baby's health.
He was trying to save her life and maybe the baby's life.
Yes, exactly. So Coach O...
He went undefeated.
Yeah, he's 2019 flies forever. So he'll be back somewhere. I don't know where. But someone will be happy to have him as a recruiter. And
I
a
wouldn't
coach.
Be surprised if he just kind of like, you know, hangs out in Baton Rouge and then in 10 years.
They hire him again?
Yeah. He could do that.
Imagine.
Or
that'd be sick.
I mean, he should just hang out.
Like once that donor dies or whoever it is.
Next time any program needs an interim head coach.
He should be interim for hire.
He should be a full-time interim coach.
Yes. Yes. It is sad. It's a sad end of an era, but it was a hell of an era. It was an awesome, awesome time. We love Coach O forever.
They asked him what his future plans were. He said, I think he'll have me enough money to buy a hamburger.
There we go.
So he's going to be eating.
Coach O, you want to come to New York? Hop on the podcast. We'd love to have you. So how was the scene in Baton Rouge?
It was awesome. I mean, always definitely I've been lucky enough to be a lot of college atmospheres. It's definitely the most authentic like college atmosphere that's also crazy on game days. Doesn't matter that it was an 11 a.m. start. The game was a shootout. One of the most fun
a rivalry
was crazy.
Fun games I've been to where it's like we were on a bachelor party, everyone bet the over, and we were just like rooting for points the whole time, never in doubt. Florida's quarterback that they put in second is Cam Newton 2.0.
Yes.
He's on my big board for Heisman next year.
Ooh, yeah.
He passed the eyeball
test. Who else is on your big board?
Him.
Caleb Williams.
Yeah, Caleb Williams.
I haven't seen Caleb Williams with my own eyes. Oh, it's okay. Just him.
Okay, just him. There's Hank's big board. Billy, you're who's back?
My
school football?
It's actually D3 football.
All right, Jake, who's your who's back? No, go ahead, Billy, go ahead.
No, there was just a D3 football game between two Wisconsin, Platteville and Wisconsin lacrosse, where at the end of the game, it was 23-24.
Yeah. Lacrosse is the name of the town?
Yeah.
We gotta move there.
It's the town of the future.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Fastest town on 2 feet.
Anyway, they were about to set up the game-winning field goal. It was 24-23, and their quarterback was supposed to spike it. He kneeled it with 2 seconds left.
Yeah.
Tough.
That's the one mistake you don't want to make.
And this guy had a great game, too. He had like 463 yards and 2 touchdowns, but that's a heartbreaker.
That's your who's back?
It's a great story. It's a bad story, but like.
I guess.
We needed to hear that. I mean, that has to be mentioned.
Like, what do you do if you do that?
There's people, like, imagine if there was people going on to their work today and they couldn't talk about Northwestern lacrosse.
Dude, you know, okay, who's back of the week? Batman. Yeah. Fucking Batman's back.
What's Batman up to?
Fucking new movie.
Yeah?
Yeah. I didn't even watch it. Is that what you nerds want to
hear? Batman a football guy?
It's actually, no. It's the Batman. It's a different title.
When is it back? Is it Christopher Nolan?
No, it's fucking out. Vampire,
Twilight,
bro.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Wait, is it a cartoon?
No, it's
they
like
should bring back the cartoons.
Goth noir.
No, I want Christopher Nolan to just make more Batmans.
Goth noir?
Yeah. There's like an artsy Batman.
Like,
with a vampire.
Like if Derek Carr was Batman.
Why? Not even.
Is he a billionaire?
Yeah, I think so.
Derek Carr's got some flow, by the way, now.
Yeah.
He's big time.
Definitely growing that out.
Jake, your who's back? Oh!
The 280-day drought is over. Yes. Rams 38, Giants 11.
I'm sorry we didn't mention that.
No, it's good because I was saving it for this anyways.
Were you on a plane?
I was on a plane. I bought the Wi-Fi. It was kind of sketchy Wi-Fi, in and out, but enough to witness it with my own eyes. Mini Fire Fest.
What do you mean witness it? You're watching the game? Or you were watching the scoreboard app?
No, there was you could
you were refreshing Twitter.
No, you could watch the game.
Well, you were watching the game.
Yeah, but it was like buffering.
Got it.
I forgot to mention this. I was gonna text you too. Will Wade was just sitting in our seats yesterday.
Oh really?
What?
Yeah. Like we walked up to our seats and I'm like looking at the tickets, looking at him. I was like, I think this guy's in our seats, and he had a credential on. I was like, Will Wade. Football coach or basketball coach, whatever. And I was just so thrown off in the moment. This was right when we walked in. I was like, processed it all quickly. There was an open lane, like two rows behind. We were 10 guys. I was like, let's just sit up here for a second and figure it out. If these people come, I'll go tell, you know, I'll go kick Will out of our
make
seats.
Make him a damn strong
he's an American
offer.
Gangster, after all.
Yeah.
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 That's
but,
true.
But the people in our seats never came, and then he left after the first half. So that never had to happen. But I was getting myself ready to be like, hey, Will, you know, produce part of my take, blah, blah, blah. Also, like,
can you
get the fuck out of my seats?
Yeah, scram, bro.
He left at halftime, though?
Yeah, they might have went somewhere else. There was like a bunch of, you could tell, it was a bunch of like recruits or coaches and stuff. I think they just walked up, took the seats, and then we're waiting for someone to kick them out.
It's still so awesome to me that Will
it
Wade...
It was a hilarious, like, what are the chances?
Yeah.
Will Wade was just basically like, no, I think I'm going to keep coaching.
Yeah.
Like, forget about the investigation.
You can't do that. Yeah.
I'd rather continue to coach, I'm going to do that.
Shout out Sean Miller. I think he's been fired now, right? No.
Yeah.
They hired
Tommy Lloyd, the Gonzaga assistant.
That's right. But Sean Miller did the same thing where he's just like, yeah, I'm just gonna coach through this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Respect.
I think so.
It turns out that's all you need to do.
He did a documentary review.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, no, if you guys don't have anything firm here, we're just going to keep going.
Because it turns out, like, the NCAA is fake.
Yeah.
It's just people that gave themselves jobs.
Yes.
And so if you just say, no, I don't feel like it, there's really nothing they can do.
Anyways, three weeks until the season starts. Ken Baum came out today.
Oh,
very
nice.
Exciting stuff.
Nice.
Yeah.
Who's on your big board?
Syracuse.
Okay. Nice. Skorigami, though. Huge moment.
Yeah, a little bit of a fire fest, not being able to witness it with you guys here.
It's all we were talking about.
I know.
I'm not going to lie, Jake, and I know this is probably going to hurt you, but... no one said anything about it.
Yeah, but a lot of people care.
Like, I did. When they showed the graphic like later on, I was like, oh, I wouldn't. Jay, you would have been on it beforehand.
Oh, he would have been telling us the whole time. Yeah. But we just lived life without knowing it.
So it kind of worked out I wasn't here.
Yeah.
You guys didn't have to deal with me.
Yes. No. It's not a deal with you thing. It was, I wish you had been here.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because then I would have actually even known that it was happening.
And the Lunder hit.
And the Lunder hit.
It's a great day for made up weird things I root for.
If you went and worked at, you know, like, let's say you got Sunday Night Football tomorrow and we never saw you again, and you asked me what Skorigami is like 10 days from now, I'd be like, I don't fucking know. So I appreciate what you do.
Yeah, of course.
My hack is that I see if a game's going into overtime, and then I'm like, that's probably going to be a Skorigami if it ties. If it ends as a tie.
No, 2020, like tonight had no shot.
Oh, no really? Shot. Damn, dunked on BFT.
What if it was 23-23?
No shot.
I don't think so.
No shot. He gave you a
damn,
no shot.
No shot.
He gave you a no shot.
All right.
Because they used to tie all the time back in the day, right?
I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
22 is a tie, 25 is a tie, 32, and 36.
So he did 18, have a shot.
So 15. 20, all those ties.
23-23 would have been
No.
Oh.
No,
all
no
the
shot.
Ones I just listed would be Skorigamis.
Jake said no shot. He meant no shot.
He knows what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Have we ever had two Skorigamis in one day?
I don't think so. We had 12 last season.
So, like, in 50 years, there'll be none left.
The website goes up to 7351.
It could happen.
Someone has way too much time on their hands. But then again, I have dumb hobbies, too. Actually, I don't. I just watch too much football.
For the record, it's 1:14.
It is 1:14. A little early. Billy, got anything left?
Yep.
Any other D2, D1, AA, FCS?
This is the end of the show, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so.
College rugby?
Just wanted to give you guys
anything?
Some updates.
Anything? Pop Warner?
CT scans on Daryl Taylor were clear, so the guy who got carted off the field, he's doing well. And Dak,
I doubt he's doing well.
Well, he's not. He's doing better. He's
got it.
He didn't even do the whip dance when he was getting carded.
Yeah, if he did the
how
whip,
how good could he be?
No,
feeling?
But if he'd done the whip dance, then we'd all been like, "Oh, like that's fine. Like he's doing okay." Also, the reason they don't show fans on the broadcast is because advertisers could pay their bail and make it really cheap to advertise on the broadcast if they had someone run out with, like, a sign or something.
Got it.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And then also, even though we said that this was a bad week of football, like, aren't we thankful that we have football?
Oh, yeah, yes, yeah.
For sure.
Because remember, we almost didn't have it, COVID.
But here's the thing. It's important to say how you feel about the week of football. Otherwise, you can't be like, every week rules. Because then you can't actually genuinely say the weeks that rule. Perspective.
It was still good to have football, though. You're right.
Of course.
You're right. We're thankful every day for football.
I would like to win a few more bets and the Bears to not lose Aaron Rodgers every single time. Is that so much to ask for?
No.
All right, numbers.
69.
97.
8, 96.
8, 18.
52. Skorigami. Damn.
Nope.
Ooh.
Uh-oh.
It moves from 5 to 6. Second place behind the juggernaut 47.
Wow. The goat.
Fish don't pay taxes.
Love you guys. What inside joke was that?
Oh. You don't get it?
No. They go to school though. Love you guys. Talking away. Though I don't know what I'm to say, I'd say it anyway. Today is another day to find you shying away. I'll be coming for your love, okay? Shying away. I'll be coming for your love, okay? Needless to say, I'm upset it, but I'm pleased a little way. Life is okay, say after me. It's no better to be safe than sorry. Say after me. It's no better to be safe than sorry. Take on me. Take me. Today's another day to find you shying away. I'll be coming for your love, okay? Shying away. I'll be coming for your love, okay? Needless to say, I'm upset it, but I'm pleased a little way. Learning that life is okay, say after me. It's no better to be safe than sorry, say after me. It's no better to be safe than sorry. Take on me. Take me on. I'll be gone in eternity. Take on.
You're shying away. Well, I'll be coming for you anyway. You're shying away. Well, I'll be coming for you anyway.